Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
If you want to know the model of internet censorship and how the globalists are going to control every facet of life, we're going to be covering it coming up at the start of the next segment. Rand Paul introduces a bill to kill Obama gun control. There is just so much coming up today. But first off, John Bowne, as we open so many shows, is another powerful report on the type of stuff they've tucked into the omnibus bill. Not just open borders, not just bringing in the Syrian refugees, not just all this pork barrel, but censoring and controlling the internet in the name of cybersecurity, more NSA spying. Here's that report.
Back in April of 2015, 55 civil society organizations, security experts, and academics signed a letter opposing CISA. Then in October of 2015, the Senate passed the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act by a vote of 74 to 21. That act quietly slipped its way into the government funding omnibus bill that was recently signed into law by President Obama. However, the CISA privacy provisions added to the omnibus stripped even more privacy protections than the October version. They took a bad bill and they made it worse, says Robin Green, policy counsel for the Open Technology Institute. Essentially, warrantless searches of anyone's private information will be shared between third-party companies and a whole new host of federal agency portals, local police fusion centers, and as a side effect, foreign hackers. Wired reports, the earlier bill had only allowed that back-channel use of the data for law enforcement in cases of imminent threats, while the new bill requires just a specific threat, potentially allowing the search of the data for any specific terms regardless of timeline.
Fact is, not every bill with cybersecurity in the title is necessarily a good idea. I believe this bill will do little to make Americans safer, but will potentially reduce the personal privacy of millions of Americans in a very substantial way. The groups that I'm talking about are ones with members who have companies with millions and millions of customers. And they're saying they can't support this bill at this time. I think I know why. These companies who didn't have a problem with previous kinds of versions of this legislation are saying they don't support it. These companies, Mr. President, are hearing from their customers. And they're worried that their customers are saying, this doesn't look like it's going to protect our privacy. Of course, we want to be safe. We also want to have our liberty. Ben Franklin famously said, anyone who gives up their liberty to have security really doesn't deserve either.
In 2013, declassified documents revealed that the NSA had been scooping up thousands of emails of citizens it wasn't allowed to target. Simply put, if the government has any concern, whether real or imagined, about John Q. Public, they can easily raid any and everything Mr. Public shares online, and there is nothing John Q. can do about it. Emails, financial information, political philosophy, all of this done in the name of the CIA's blockbuster fail, The Interview, after Americans were sold the propaganda that North Korea had hacked Hollywood. Americans are now surveilled from the skies, wiretapped through their cell phones. Energy usage is gathered by smart meters for the inevitable carbon taxation coming, and all personal documents and information are devoured online without Americans' consent. This makes the East German secret police, the Stasi, look like the Cub Scouts. Completely unconstitutional, completely un-American, and illegal, dealing a final death blow to the Fourth Amendment. Solutions for the time being? Use a VPN service and change your DNS server. It won't be long before you are officially informed that you are no longer an American citizen. Your new self-identity is as the property of the New World Order. God bless what's left of America. John Bowne for Infowars.com.
It is a takeover of the species itself.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
A dizzying array of incredible information. Hopefully I'll get to 10% of it here today. Where to begin? Where to start? Nico came in this morning, one of the main producers of the radio slash TV transmission, and he said, I know you've mentioned this, but Buckley, my cousin who helped found InfoWars 20 years ago, who's on vacation right now, he said, Buckley is sending me all these text messages and emails and freaking out about this and says you ought to cover it. So I guess Buckley just discovered this, and I say that in a good way because I mentioned it a few times 6 months ago. I talked about it when Zuckerberg had the head of Chinese internet censorship to the United States for 2 weeks of intensive meetings about how to censor the internet better. He then, of course, met with Merkel and was caught on a hot mic saying he would do that. And then I'm glad that Buckley's freaking out about this because this is something that we should freak out about. Because when you understand this and you understand Chinese government censorship is the model and the testing ground for the rest of the world because it is an open totalitarian state. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, they execute you for your political views there. And the fact that our media won't even talk about that today shows you just how authoritarian the mindset is of our leaders. But when you wonder what all the NSA and corporate spying and the fusion of all that information's about, and the algorithms that can predict what you're going to purchase online weeks before you do it, it's bigger than just predicting the future in mass trends down to basically 1/100th of a percent. It's about then guiding future trends by manipulating stimuli. When you get 7 billion plus people wired into the internet and you're tracking all the different metrics from energy usage to keystrokes to what people are buying, where they're going, what they're saying, and you feed that all into giant supercomputers, you get basically godlike predictive powers. You want to know why the elite are on such a power trip? This is why. And just in the last few days, I've talked to a very successful, well-known director and producer in person, who I've known for years, and I've talked to other people that I've known for more than a decade who have said, yeah, okay, 16, 17 years ago, I thought you were funny, thought a lot of what you said was true, but thought you were a crazy kook. It's all true now. I basically listen all the time, but I'm going to just go along with the system now and not even talk about any of these issues that I had talked about a little bit because I'm afraid for my family. That's separate from the producer-director. But the producer-director was pretty much at that point. Because in Hollywood and in New York and the big media centers in D.C. and Chicago, they openly call people into boardrooms now and tell them, you're either with the world government and the totalitarian takeover, or you're going to be left behind with the rest of the unwashed masses. We are turning off the resources. We're saving the planet from the scourge of humans. You get on board or you're going to be cut off. And they're calling the military in from basically captains and above, especially in special operations, and giving them the same sick speeches. And it's kind of having a paradoxical effect that it makes what we do just have incredible credibility in the power structures. Just frightening influence the show has. Believe me, I'm not bragging, folks. And I knew we had a lot of influence a long time ago, but man, it's like thunderbolt level. I cannot believe I am in this position. I look at my reporters and I tell them, I mean, do you understand the position you're in? How important what you cover is, what you do? The eyes of the world are on you. And then you know, even finding out super prominent conservative icons are afraid for their kids and don't think humanity is up to the challenge of taking on the New World Order. And they listen to this show and they say, we really appreciate the job you're doing, but we're not going to take this on. Just because I talked about the Hollywood producer and director, I talked about this other big media personality, and then I was talking about another famous movie star just now who just is basically going to hide out and do some things against tyranny, but just kind of do it at impulse speed, kind of life support speed. And we're not going to turn anything around with that attitude. And I'm not up here criticizing anybody. I am just so committed to this. And I talked to famous special forces people from the ground level right up to generals. They're scared. And they ask me why I'm not more scared. I'm scared of the globalists winning. I can't give up my fight. Right as so many people are waking up. You see, there's a realization taking place that we're in the hands of true scientific evil. And a lot of people think they're just going to keep their head down and make it out of this. Keeping our heads down got us into this position. I don't have much more proving what I've warned of here on air. I mean, it's really pointless. It's almost like just giving a weather report in the middle of winter and telling you, you know, that it's below zero in Michigan or Minnesota. I mean, everybody knows that. But I just can't believe the mind trick that they've run on men in this country. To believe that they don't have the power to change the world. And to believe that they should just capitulate to evil. I mean, as the evil intensifies, I know that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Newtonian physics, it's a spiritual rule as well. And I can feel the power of liberty rising. I can feel the strength, the discernment, the focus, the will. And a lot of men feel that as well, but they're scared of it. They need to embrace it, and they need to commit to their destiny to fight tyranny. Because tiny 1%, 5% measures against evil will not buy you a ticket out of hell. And I mean hell on this planet, not hell after you die. And your children will be brought into bondage and will be destroyed by the globalists if you don't, as men, stand up against this system. You see all these men out there that act so tough, boy. Somebody's dog craps in their yard, they'll get in their face. Somebody takes their parking spot at the mall, they'll get in their face. They got courage up against other men. But when it comes to social conditioning and fear of the media, they shake in their boots. It is a Congressional Medal of Honor to be attacked and demonized and lied about by the establishment media. It is not a mark of shame when these enemies lie about you. But most people are in careers where they come out of entertainment. They're not disciplined in that they're always immersed in what's going on. And so they really don't understand the power of the individual overall. And they really buy in to the overall bluster and bark of the New World Order. You know, the Bible says that Satan goes about like a lion roaring, seeing who he may devour. and people fall down before the devil in fear, and they think that's going to protect them from the lion. When you can run the spear of truth right into that beast, and it'll turn tail and run so fast, it'll make your head spin. Victory against evil is in our hands. And all we need is a few good men who aren't afraid. And who aren't afraid to fail. So many great men, and they are great men, want to figure out the perfect lever, the perfect button, the perfect move, the perfect plan to move the world. It's the intent, it's the action, it's the struggle that together will cause ripple effects that finds the answers to change our current course. Now, when we come back, I'm just going to mention some of the news that's coming up, then I'll get into the China situation, but they're going to feed everything you do into these grids, and then you're going to have a credit score, but it's a social score. Your internet ID, where if your score isn't high enough, you can't even go on websites, you can't even be on the internet, and it's going to be for jobs, it's going to be for culture, it's hooked into the governments. It is beyond 1984, and if your friends don't have good ratings, you lose ratings. So it's also meant to shun society and create electronic gulags, literal. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Evil Charlie Brown song. No, we don't even play Christmas music, but the war on Christmas is completely open and naked now. Colleges all over are banning it. They're banning I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, saying it's racist. I'm not kidding, that's in the stack today. They really are turning us into a big Soviet-style gulag. It really is crazy. And a lot of folks think complying is going to protect them. No, it's going to destroy us. I can look at every news channel and all they show is police brutality videos by design to harness all the anger at the government and focus it at the police so the globalists can come in and federalize and globalize the local police. We have three different TV networks on in the control room, another network on in the coffee room, and every channel I just looked at as I walked through was police bashing. And you go, Alex, you're the guy that wrote the book, literally, and made the films, literally, on the corruption of police and the takeover of police. Yes, that was to stop the globalists from taking them over and setting them up. This is a covert takeover. Now they're preparing to overthrow state and local governments and bring in UN thought crime reconciliation commissions and turn the police into pure political commissars to come after veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and Christians that aren't on the government system. Period. This is a war. Do I like seeing some crazy cop taser some old lady? Do I like seeing some nut cop shoot some guy in the back? No, but that is the tiny minority of police. And the police have been corrupted and have been twisted. So is society. But that is separate from the globalist trying to take over the police and running a war on the police. They got the police running their fake drug war on the public. That's something Congress brought in. That's something the CIA put in place. We change it at that level. We don't blame the police for it. They are the grassroots proletariat. They're where the rubber meets the road. And when they've been bullied into submission and taken over, they're going to come and arrest yours truly. You can guarantee that's where all this is going. I said I'd get into all the news, and I will. China social credit, Beijing sets up huge system. There's the BBC reporting on it like it's no big deal. But we're going to break down exactly what China announces and what they're setting up and go in an informational video on this in a moment, because this is the model. This is what SOPA and CISPA and all of this is about. This is what Zuckerberg and others admit they're doing. This is their plan. This is how they're going to do it. And they are calling in all the media people across this country, from local talk radio to national talk radio to Hollywood, and telling them, you toe the line with what's going to come down with carbon taxes, forced inoculations, everything, and you'll be left alone, and you won't be enforced on. You won't have to do all this stuff. You'll get a get-out-of-jail-free card, but if you don't, we're going to come after you. I mean, they're giving people these speeches now. Last year, they legalized the CIA running domestic operations in propaganda and infiltration. And what do you think they do now? They put their people over every major media outlet, and they sit there and they point blank threaten everyone. They come to Matt Drudge and they go, as a friend, as a Supreme Court justice, you're done. They're going to shut you down. Implied, you better roll over. And it's so crazy to hear the corrupt, compromised U.S. government say that. And the rogue Central Intelligence Agency run by foreign interest, that most Americans crap their pants. I don't. It's outrageously illegal. It's totally un-American. George Washington would just say, fix bayonets, go right at that. Well, that's what we're doing in the info war. These people do not have the moral high ground. They are hijackers of our country, hijackers of these agencies. And don't forget, and I have a special report coming up on this, there is a mutiny in the brass against this. That's why they tried to purge so many. And I'm not lionizing the military for no reason. They are the only major group holding back so much of this. And you think about that. That's why they want to take out the military, take out the police, take out local government, take out the state houses. This is a globalist takeover. America has been invaded. We are under attack. This is a red alert.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The globalists are our enemies, and we do the opposite of what they do. They sneak in by stealth, brainwashing our children, adulterating our food and water, destroying our language, our sovereignty, attacking the family. They attack in the dead of night. We attack in frontal assaults to create spectacles, to open up the enemy, to draw them out, and to run them over. Because they want the population to believe they're powerful and invincible. They are weak. I was just telling Rob Dew some of the big names I've been talking to that are scared of the New World Order. And Rob Dew has got so much courage in the reports and things he's done over the years. He didn't act like a tough guy, but he is. He said they're weak. Every time we stand up, they fold. They're going to get us if we cower. That's when we lose. And he said, look at Bundy Ranch with David Knight and Josh Owens. There went 1,000 people, many of them on horseback. None of them aiming guns at the feds except one guy for a media op. And the feds were saying, we're going to shoot you. We're going to shoot you. We're going to shoot you if you come across the fence. Of course, they didn't. That was America's Tiananmen Square. And it shook the government and the criminals and Harry Reid to his core. He said, Homeland Security will get you. We're coming after you. You are domestic terrorist. No, Harry Reid, you're the terrorist. Terrorizing our Bill of Rights and Constitution, voting to bring in the real terrorists to attack us so you can then pass laws taking more of our freedoms. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that I don't have fear. I know how the world works, and I have logic, and I know history. I'm afraid of us rolling over and losing. And then they come and pick us all off one by one. I know we haven't lost. I know we're close to winning. And the enemy knows that. That's why they're so scared. Folks, they have pulled out the stops. I don't even have time to do it, but last night I spent about 2 hours just so I could really analyze it after the children went to bed. At the computer, just scanning hundreds of articles yesterday with 4 or 5 talking points in all of them and looking how it was written by somebody else. They were given papers, and this is admitted. This was definitely Justice Department, Southern Poverty Law Center, or the CIA, or a mix of them. But it was all to different publications, big ones, small ones, little ones, all saying the same lies to assassinate my character. And it felt so good. It was so exciting. Because that means we are directly over enemy targets right now. We are absolutely having devastating victory right now. We're devastating the enemy right now. And in a frontal assault, if I get blown to bits politically or they set me up or whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. Why do you think they haven't moved openly? Instead, they use COINTELPRO operatives, infiltrators, and things like that, and we know all their tricks. And I literally just pray to God to protect us, and it's just miraculous the providence that happens to our enemies. And that's all behind-the-scenes stuff, but it's unbelievable. I hit my knees, and within 24 hours, my enemies are... I mean, it's not just the internet and the New World Order. It's not just this stuff with the globalists playing God. There's a whole nother wireless internet. It's called the Spirit. And you know who rules that? That's right. The devil wants to become that. The devil wants to be God. The devil isn't God. And if you don't believe in a physical devil, the Carl Jung allegory, the archetype, that's who the New World Order are. They have all the manifestations, all the characteristics, all the behaviors of what we would call the old serpent. They're it. Just like Ray Kurzweil said, I don't believe in God yet. I'm going to become God. And the God they're becoming isn't the God of the Bible. It's the God of this world, this little world. Hundreds of billions of galaxies photographed by the Hubble system. Millions of what are believed habitable Earth-like worlds, some of them only 25 light years away. And these people would have you believe that they're the gods of the universe. That's why everything they do is to shutter your consciousness and not let you see what's really all around you. I want to read this, and then I'm going to get into all the pieces I've been mentioning. I do this maybe once a year. I should do it more often. There was a cocktail party with the New York Times, Washington Post, and others at it in 2003. And they had just invaded Iraq and lied about it. Everybody knew it was a lie. They'd been told a lie. And they went over to Karl Rove and they said, aren't we losing credibility? I mean, isn't there good and evil in the world? You can read the full articles. It was kind of like the Gospels. It was from different perspectives and different newspapers, how the reporters saw it. It was pretty much the same thing. 3 articles were written about it. I say, like, you know, different perspectives, the different articles that were written, but it was the same quotes. And they go, you know, isn't there good and evil? I mean, really, just a blow up Iraq when clearly Saudi Arabia is involved in 9/11 and Iraq's arch enemies and they don't have WMDs? Why are we doing this? Why are we? I mean, you know, because these reporters were going along with their orders. And Karl Rove looked at him and said, I control reality and you will do whatever I tell you. It doesn't matter how many lies there are. We that run the government are history's actors now, and you will just follow that. He said, you don't control your destiny. You're a slave. And they still bucked him and didn't, you know, use his name for the first few years, but they put the article out. I read another article one time about a beautiful reporter. She was at one of these cocktail parties, and Richard Pearl was there. And he was walking around to different women saying, you know how many people I've killed? I'm powerful. I don't kill people physically. Big, giant black circles around his eyes. Looks like a cross between the Penguin and Nosferatu meets Count Dracula, meets Frankenstein, meets Lardass. And the women were just repulsed by it. But he didn't seem to know that women weren't impressed by a guy walking around talking about, I command forces and I kill people. I imagine just walking, I kill people. I mean, Vladimir Putin's killed people with his bare hands. He doesn't run around going, I kill people. I kill people. I'm powerful. I mean, what a joke. This is who rules us? It's just they're so wicked and so pathetic, we just hand over our authority to them and just grovel. Let me read you the actual Karl Rove quotes. The aide said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community. This is Karl Rove talking to them. In what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. I nodded and murmured something about enlightenment principles. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, he continued. We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which we can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors now, and you, all of you, will be left just to study what we do. And you see that with the neocons running the Obama administration to a great extent. They're now threatening to break off and create their own party if Donald Trump gets the nomination to give it to Hillary. Of course, they run her. This is exposing the one-party system right now. Even Paul Craig Roberts has come out in support of Trump now. He gets it. And you look at this, and you look at where society's going, and you see Obama saying, 2 + 2 = 5. I mean, that's in Common Core. And you didn't build your business. And raising the debt doesn't raise the debt. And you can keep your doctor. And the health care is free. And we're not coming after your guns. That's them telling you that reality doesn't matter. When Winston Smith from the Ministry of Truth, he's a propagandist, is at the Ministry of Love, where they torture people to death. It's up is down, down is up, 1984. And O'Brien, one of the chief technicians, one of the party heads, enjoys his work torturing people because he is a priest of power attacking the human beauty and trampling it forever in a ritual human sacrifice. They had a top Russian Duma member come out on Russian TV 2 days ago and say, basically, the people running America are Satanist and they want to sacrifice America. And then there were other quotes about it's ritual sacrifice in the debates talking about blowing up Russia. See, it's not that Russia's so good, it's that we're so bad. They've already been through the depths of hell. And so they're clawing at the surface wanting air. We're told sitting down here on the bottom turning blue's fun. And that's why you watch any sitcom, any drama, any movie, reality and things making sense are under attack to scramble people's brains so they will accept this globalist, cultural, spiritual, genetic overwrite that's happening right now. There is no escaping this but by resisting it. There's a spirit of the New World Order. It says, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And they teach that you manifest by what you believe, and so you just believe something that's going to happen. No, you become delusional and frame reality to your delusion. The secret is a fraud. When you have the tools, the research, the background, the capacity, and the developmental time, humans can manifest we're made in the image of God. But it's not done instantaneously. And I've had multiple people in the system recite to me like they were out of a space cult. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. They are choosing as members of the successful class, not the ruling class, but the tampered class, the last class to be destroyed, but already being rotted from within. Because evil can only move against something that's already fallen. Unless goodness gives itself up to be destroyed. I mean, these are the deep secrets, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy doesn't want you to know. Abject doom is where the New World Order takes us. It's what it does. The devil and its spirit is a spoiled, rotten punk that if they can't be God, they're going to wreck everything else and wreck everybody else's free will and wreck everybody else's capacity to grow in God's plan to things that our eyes and ears and minds cannot even see or hear or imagine. Let me go ahead and get into the situation with China since I mentioned it. Got a bunch of articles here. Oh, China's social credit, Beijing sets up huge system. That's because England's coming in where they arrest you for your speech, even if it's nonviolent. It says most countries, the existence of a credit system isn't controversial. Oh, see, it's not controversial. Past financial information is used to predict whether individuals will pay their mortgages or credit card bill in the future. But China is taking the whole concept a few steps further. Oh, see, they just roll it out like it's no big deal. Then we actually have the proposal. The Chinese government is building an omnipotent, oh, that's not dangerous, social credit system that is meant to rate each citizen's trustworthiness. And, of course, who enters the data? You always hear from these UN-supported, New York Times-supported zeitgeist folks and their dumbed-down followers on average, who just want to hear something, some easy fix. Hey, we got spaceships, big plastic cities. It'll be heaven. You won't have to work. A big computer will decide what job you get and what you do. Oh, great, it's impartial. Oh, really? Like the Nazi IBM machines were impartial? What are you talking about? They're programmed for what they want to happen out of it. Within the next 4 years, China will enroll the entire country, companies, infrastructure, everything by law fed in to their NSA-style systems. Minor traffic violations. Friends of yours that don't have good social rating. What you've said about the government, everything will be fed into it. And the BBC reports it like it's a good thing. Now, what's that tell you? See, that's even more of the story, isn't it? Let's continue to anti-media's breakdown that actually quotes from the Chinese government announcement. China. As if further proof were needed of Orwell's dystopia is now upon us, China has now gamified obedience to the state. Though that is every bit as creepy, terrifying as it sounds, citizens may still choose whether or not they wish to opt in, which gives you basically a horrible score. That is, until the program becomes compulsory. Going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit, China has created a score for how good a citizen you are, explains Extra Credit's video about the program. The owners of China's largest social networks have partnered with the government to create something akin to the U.S. credit score, but instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. And then it goes over all of it. And here's the rest of the story. This is being set up here. China's working with Microsoft and others to beta test everything there where they have no laws protecting people to then roll it out completely here. And that's why you look at SOPA, CISPA, and all these other acts, cybersecurity garbage, it meshes with this. And a lot of folks will say, well, I better go along with the system. I'd go along with helping the farmers market, and I'd go along with giving local police officers videos and books and material to wake them up. I'd go along with running for city council and state house. I'd work with your state. But the federal government's been seized, just like Vichy France. and you go along with this, you are a collaborator. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's perfect and that you're not going to buy some corporate stuff or go along with some stuff at times. Everybody does what you have to, but just be conscious of it and realize that this isn't a game. And they're going to use this in cultural shunning where people won't associate because, oh my gosh, my digital score will be lowered, then I can't get loans, I can't get online, I can't get jobs. That creates electronic systems that will manifest true ghettos or virtual concentration camps is what this is for your political and spiritual beliefs. Mark of the Beast. By the way, I just walked in the control room during the break. Everybody had some pretty serious, solemn looks on their faces. That's because they sit in there and read all the same stuff, see the same video clips I see. They know I'm not making this stuff up. And yes, Matt was saying, man, that's one of the darkest segments in a long time. It's one of the brightest segments in a long time. Because they don't want you to know they're pushing darkness and evil and creeping up on you. We are firing flares into the night, and we're not the ones that are showing, you know, we're not the ones manifesting the evil, the darkness. We're showing it. So, see, we're not dark. We're being real with you folks to hopefully not scare you, but motivate you to say no to this. Because the end game of this whole plan is to get us into electronic ghettos where we don't have jobs, where we're easily controlled, where we're poor. And then they're going to put us in physical ghettos. The British government's openly announced, and other ones, we've played the newscast, that in the future, if you don't take microchips, you don't let the computer direct your life, when you get meat, where you work, what you do, you'll still be free. You're going to be put in a physical ghetto. I mean, my God, they're really doing it. They're really doing it, people. And then you'll beg for the ghettos because they're going to flood us with so many third world populations that are collapsing who I care about. The globalists blocked their development. The globalists literally engineered this, admitted it all in the late 40s. But it doesn't matter. It's still a weapon system. God help us. That's why you see somebody like Vladimir Putin, who I've been very critical of in ways over the years, trying to be balanced. But basically, he opposes everything the New World Order is doing. And a lot of cold warriors who didn't trust Putin are now changing their mind. And you can look at Putin. He doesn't look like what he looked like 10 years ago. And I've been told by people high up in the Russian media and Russian government and other systems that I was told this years ago and didn't believe it. I mean, now I know it. Putin actually watches my films, listens to the show. We've been invited out to Russia one time. I didn't go. And it was, I'm not going to get into it, but the point is that if I get invited again, I'm going to go. Because I need to see this for myself. But humanity's in trouble, folks. We're in a lot of trouble. Matt and Nico, you guys didn't even want to come on air, but I want to drag you on here. I want to get you guys on air more. And you know, all of you, anybody wants to pop in here. But just briefly, I mean, your take on this, because we know that the U.S. and Europe are adopting the Chinese censorship model, and this is so draconian. This is, you can buy nor sell without the mark, the digital mark that you're a good little digital slave. This is it. And you're not going to hear a word out of the churches about this because they're so controlled. Nico, Matt?
So I haven't really done much research on it until this morning whenever Buckley sent me that article, and I've been reading up on it, and people over there are on all ends of the spectrum. Some people know about it and they think it's good because their social credit score allows them to book hotels without paying a deposit and whatnot. But if you have a bad score, they encourage people to push anybody else who has a bad score away from you, because any friends that you associate with that have a bad score will bring your score down, and that will...
And the government can put it arbitrarily in there. It's not like it's some private society you opt into, like the credit system.
Well, currently it's opt-in, quote-unquote, and then it'll be mandatory 2020 moving forward. And the way that they're going to implement this is if you have a good score, then you get perks. If you have a bad score, then it's hard for you to... You're limited in the number of jobs you can get.
And then they can change the stimuli with more and more control to keep your good score and get you to do anything they want. And as Matt pointed out, the gamification with all these video games and online stuff, that's priming everybody. Stay there, Nico. I didn't mean to cut you off. You're absolutely on target. Stay there. We'll come back with Nico. Come back with Matt. Then William Binney, former technical director of the National Security Agency, the biggest NSA whistleblower in history, technically even bigger than Snowden. It's all coming up. I've signed my John Hancock. Have you? Take action, folks. You only live once. It's 2 a.m. When the hitman comes, he knows that he's been cheated, that he's killing himself and his whole family.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
It's easy to serve evil. It's easy to worship that twisted flame. It's easy to bow at that altar. It's hard to give life. It's hard to lay down your life. It's hard to stand up against the criticism. Until you step across that line, then you know it was all an illusion. All a fraud. You've now stepped out of the domain of this world. You realize what a sick joke it is that humanity could have been free any time they made the conscious decision to do so. When the bullet hits the bone. All right, Kit Daniels wants to pop in, and I want to get Matt to pop in with their points. They were making these points here in the break, and I just basically came in and repeated their points, saying, hey, you tell them what you said, and then I said it. But this is really revealing the mark of the beast, how it's going to work. Everybody always knew this, a digital number, your face print, your thumbprint. It's your social media that if you don't behave and do what they say, you don't get the mark. I mean, this is it. The China globalist model, Zuckerberg's rolling it out, the whole nine yards. It's like Facebook goes, oh, here, we're giving you this Facebook mentions. You can reach millions with it. We hope you're nice. Hope that doesn't get taken away if you're not. See, I mean, this is how it all works. Play ball, Alex. It's fun. Go along with it. Yeah, I get the people down at the mid-level and the higher levels are nice folks that sold out. Wink, wink. I ain't doing it. Because I know who runs the show at the top. And boy, he doesn't like life. Kit Daniels, your comments on this.
Well, the whole control over the population, what's more important than having money is having the control over creation of money and how people engage.
And now this won't let you use it. Now you won't have other economies. That's why they're shutting down the farmers markets and the lemonade stands. Exactly. They can't have anything that isn't box stores and that you've got to go to it to get your food. The Soviet model on PCP in a high tech grid. Go ahead. Sorry.
So when you have a tiny elite that has control over the money supply, they have control over human energy, because think about it. You and me and millions of other people in America, they're hardworking Americans. They go out and they expand their expense their energy in order to make a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. Now the banks are saying they're going to charge to keep money in them.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically all it comes down to is this total control over the population.
And we won't organize. We won't stand up for each other. So we're going to get screwed big time. Yeah. But it's okay because there's a black guy up there who's liberal. And Hillary, he's taking care of us. Doesn't matter if they allow loan sharking loan rates all across the country. Doesn't matter if they're screwing everybody over with Obamacare. We feel like we're winners, so it's okay. And the Republicans at the top are all part of it, so they won't expose it either. That's why we're in so much trouble. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry for laughing. It's really not even that funny when you think about it. But yeah, it's like, it just goes back to lust for power that's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah, the lust to screw everybody over.
Yeah, and the easiest way now for the elite to have gain power is through controlling money and controlling the money supply. Because once you control money and its creation and how it's spent and how it's saved, you have control over everything. And that's just, sadly, that's just the way it is.
And then people say, oh, it's just the elite. They want world peace. It's okay. Let them have control. No, they want to genetically engineer everything and kill everybody.
Yeah.
You cannot give these psychos control, folks.
Yeah. Look at it this way. I mean, think about how they are putting all these controls over money and capital controls, saying, oh, we're using this to fight terrorism, to track the money through ISIS and whatnot. But they're the ones that created ISIS. It's just another false flag.
It's totally naked. Totally obvious. Matt, quick comment. Did you want to come on and make your point about gamerism?
Sure, yeah.
Got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Gamification is indoctrination. I'm looking at the definition. I've got it up here on my computer. And the end of that right there, typically as an online marketing technique to encourage engagement in a product or service.
Well, yeah, sucking really you into a false reality. After Benny leaves, and when Benny's on, I'm going to bring you up halfway in to give you a few minutes to really lay this out and get his take on it. This is one of the smartest people when it comes to mathematics out there. Stay with us.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us. We're now well into the second hour, the 22nd day of December 2015 on this Tuesday edition. I am your host, Alex Jones. The news websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. And please don't take for granted the fact that you can still visit these websites. There are all sorts of moves to censor the internet. The FCC chair who sought to regulate Drudge slams colleagues as dysfunctional. There are open moves to censor the internet. Again, Matt Drudge, when he visited us a few months ago, was told point blank by a Supreme Court justice who he told me about privately but didn't say the name on air, that they've been told next year they're going to try to pass laws and regulations to censor the internet and free speech and call it political speech and try to tax it. The power to tax is the power to destroy. So much happening. I want to get William Binney's take today, former technical leader for the intelligence with the National Security Agency, the developer of many of the systems we see in use today, according to major defense publications, probably one of the greatest codebreakers ever, not just living. But I want to get his take on China just launched the most frightening game ever, and it will be mandatory. We've talked about this some, but now it's official. They're going to force everyone in the next 4 years in China to adopt it. It goes online next year. All your purchases, what you do, what you say about the government will be put into a social credit score. You won't be able to get hotels, won't be able to travel, won't be able to leave the country if you haven't been a good party member or if you haven't towed the party line. This is the mark of the beast. Even if you don't believe in God, the devil, whatever, they're using it as an owner's manual where all your data goes in. And this is what Zuckerberg's been meeting with the head of the Chinese Censorship Bureau who set up this infrastructure. This is the model. And it's incredibly dangerous. It's over the top. We've got all these omnibus bills and surveillance bills being rammed through, always happening around the Christmas season when people are distracted. There's so much to discuss with William Binney. He's the former technical leader for intelligence for the NSA before becoming a whistleblower in late 2001 privately to Congress. Nothing was done. After more than 30 years with the agency, Binney has been described as one of the best analysts and codebreakers in NSA history. Binney continues to speak out about the NSA's data collection policies and continues interviews in the media regarding his experiences. And they got the new big movie coming out, of course, that Oliver Stone's putting out that has a big character playing the part of William Binney in it. He's testified in an affidavit that the NSA is a deliberate violation of the U.S. Constitution. ExposedFacts.org has a lot of his writings. He, of course, has physically come and been interviewed by us here. And it's important to understand he's made the statement. This is about total social control of the general public, not about protecting us from terrorists. Notice they let these Syrian refugees in, who are really mainly Sunni invaders, homesteaders, pilgrims, trying to come in and take over Syria out of Saudi Arabia, other countries. That's admitted. 80%, the Pentagon admits. 80% roughly. The EU says that as well. Fake passports, you name it. Large percentages are jihadis are now being brought in, clearly. So when they attack, they'll say it's not Muslim terror, but we got to take your guns. We got to restrict your rights. We got to reauthorize all the NSA spying. We've got to expand it. So this is what we're dealing with. They're not protecting us. 14 years after 9/11, Al-Qaeda has turned into the giant ISIS organization with hundreds of thousands. How is that? With Hillary Clinton and others openly funding them with the weapons. It's clear. Saudi Arabia gets to take over the Middle East with its fighters. They play along with their anti-American, hit a few targets, wind up some of their operatives who don't know what they're doing to attack us. And then Western governments can set up totalitarianism. And it came out a few months ago in NSA reports, and it's also come out, CIA has admitted it. ISIS puts out in their official magazine that we're not CIA, we're not working with the West. Don't listen to that, and that's the one thing hurting their recruitment. is that young Muslims can't be wound up by them to go up and shoot up and blow stuff up because they're understanding this is meant to cause a clash of civilizations and more invasions of the Middle East to knock out countries like Syria that aren't against the United States. Just like Saudi Arabia is involved attacking us on 9/11. That's now in the 28 pages. We know that. And we attack Iraq. So there's such an awakening. This is incredible. Now, what I wanted to bring up to William Binney was a new book called Military to Military that the London Review of Books covered yesterday, as well as the New Yorker magazine, where Cy Hirst, the two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, breaks down what we already know from Colonel Schaefer and our other contacts that we broke 3.5-4 years ago with Benghazi. I'm just setting the table here with William Binney. He'll be with us for the rest of the hour. That our own military, from majors, captains, master sergeants, you name it, on up to two-star generals, like the former head of defense intelligence, Michael Flynn, coming out and saying, we are ordered to create this ISIS group and to fund them. This is a willful plan, and I don't know why they're doing it. Well, it's so we can take American freedoms and European freedoms away. But we have a lot of top generals now that have just quit or been fired going public. So there is what I would call a soft counter coup. Not a coup by the military, which I don't support. Very dangerous. Normally goes bad. But a literal soft coup, and it's coming out in the news, but then getting spun. So William Binney spent years testifying secretly to Congress behind closed doors, and he was rewarded with a SWAT team raid while he was in the shower. They waited till that to drag him around naked in his house. That's what they do, to demoralize you. Went for testifying to Congress as the former technical director. I mean, that's the guy running the actual show. Because he exposed they could have stopped Al-Qaeda, they could have all of it. And they tried to set him up, they tried to set up Drake and others. I mean, guys, this is a true hero. And he doesn't want to be called that. We need to recognize who the heroes are. It's not people putting basketballs in hoops or people, you know, hitting golf balls and hole-in-ones. It's people that stand up for what's right and really try to protect this country as well. Now, I'm done with my five-minute preface, Mr. Binney. I've set a lot of stuff out there, the latest bills, the legislation, all of it, but just to go from 10 years ago, them denying there was any illegal NSA spying, to now admitting it all and trying to codify it in law and then admitting it's being used against Congress and political enemies, and now they want to merge with China with a system that socially tracks everything you do to not let you buy or sell or live, a digital blackball that I warned of 20 years ago. I mean, this is unprecedented, the conscious evil nature of this, sir. You can start anywhere you wish. I appreciate you joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Alex. I'm glad to be back with you. Yes, you've said an awful lot there. I mean, I guess the real point is that the intelligence agencies of the world are kind of banding together to do this kind of monitoring of everybody on the planet, and it's spreading. And they're using different. They're lying to the public and giving them disinformation about, for example, the latest lies are about the. They couldn't stop Paris or San Bernardino because they were encrypting. Well, when the evidence comes out, you find out that that's just another lie. It's another disinformation program where they want people to believe it's one thing when, in fact, it's another. So their whole objective there is to get rid of encryption or be able to read into any encryption on the network anywhere. And that's what they're trying to use to justify it. But again, the real problem is their bulk acquisition of data. That's always been the problem, and it continues to be. Even internally in NSA and the various agencies, they're telling them we're overpowered by overload, and we're in analysis paralysis because we can't focus because of all the massive amounts
of data.
Which
is what the dark actors really want. This is the fog for what I would liken to Spectre, these global corporations, to just take over.
Yeah, that's right. And what it really does is it gives them all that power, having all that knowledge, then they now know how or who they have to deal with in their societies to be able to control the outcomes. That's really what I've been saying for several years, is that their whole idea is population control. And in order to do that, you have to have knowledge about the population, and that's what this is giving them.
What an amazing statement by you, the former technical director of the NSA, that global intelligence agencies, I guess other than Russia, are merging right now And Zuckerberg and others admit we're going with the Chinese model because they can beta test illegal stuff on a mass scale. Can you speak directly to China's systems of control, feeding all the data in and saying, if you say something bad about the party, we're going to phase it in where you can't buy or sell? I mean, this is the ultimate nightmare in my view.
Yeah, I think it's taking off a bit on the model that's already been built between, for example, the industry and the U.S., the NSA, CIA, FBI, primarily. Those are the ones who are involved in setting it up internally in the U.S., and that's now the model they're going to try to export to China. I guess it sounds like they're going to be trying different things on top of that model to see if they can expand on it or improve it.
Basically, a security clearance to live. A security clearance to even be able to function and have a job, even in the private sector. I mean, this is beyond Hitler's best dreams, isn't it, sir?
Oh, it's well beyond all, Orwell's in 1984, too. I mean, it's getting into not only the things that you're doing and who you're working with and who you do those things with, but also what you're thinking. And that's really where this is heading.
And then openly blackmailing you to submit and do everything you're told, or they will lower your social score so you can't operate in society and can't travel.
Yeah, and if they can't get to you, they'll get to somebody you care about, just like the KGB did. So it's no different than that.
And they admit it's going to be a no-fly list just because your score is low. No judge, no jury, just a big algorithm. Now you can't travel. And so many high-powered people I've talked to have been openly told now, this is coming here, you better get in line. And they're rolling over, Mr. Benny. Don't they know that will ensure the totalitarian takeover?
Well, I think that that's basically what they're all aiming for. I mean, that's really the underlying effort that they're aiming at. That's what they want to achieve.
Good God. Well, sir, I'm here just very emotional about this because I scan it every day. You're the true expert on it. You've got the floor the next 10 minutes. What's most important? What should people know with the highest level NSA whistleblower of all time here with us on air?
The point is that everything coming out of the government is distorted in one form or another, not really coming and being honest with anybody in the public anymore. You can't trust them at all. And you cannot, even the government, inside the government, they can't even trust what the intelligence agencies are telling them or what their law enforcement agencies are telling them anymore. They're distorting what's being presented in the courts of law. I mean, they're just destroying all our founding principles. And I've been basically on television saying that this is basically treason against the founding principles of this nation. And, we as people have to stop and say, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And if they don't start subscribing to giving back to the principles of under the Constitution of personal rights by individuals, then I think we need to fire everyone that's involved in that. I would argue we need to fire everyone in D.C. right now because they have no common sense about how things are proceeding. They don't seem to understand the consequences of the things they're doing. I mean, it just seems that they believe for one reason or another, and I think it's because they're being bamboozled by the intelligence people, that they have to do these things or else the sky's going to fall, right? When in fact, that's just an outright lie, and it's a distortion to try to manipulate people to do what they want, and they're falling for it.
Well, sir,
all of our politicians are falling for it.
Sir, your record was impeccable. You know, you were holding the rank of a general at the NSA. They knew to not come and directly try to buy you off or threaten you because they knew you had such integrity. That's why you were there from a kind of an old guard system that was more based on that. With people in Congress and in the general public who are more modern and more decadent, they point blank either offer to buy them off or threaten them. I mean, I'm talking to more and more prominent people where, I mean, I'm sure you saw last year when they legalized CIA propaganda domestically and quote the CIA and the Pentagon engaging in social operations domestically, they're actually sending CIA, you name it, people into businesses, into companies, even at the mid-level now, and basically either offering them stuff or threatening them to go along with this takeover, sir. This is the equivalent. I'm sure you're familiar with how the Germans for 5 years quietly infiltrated France and got the top general staff to stand down. The Blitzkrieg was a joke. It really didn't even fight the French. They fought the British Expeditionary Force, pushed them to Dunkirk. And I liken this to a infiltration operation where they've actually, this foreign globalist coup, this corporate coup, has already, I know I said I'm giving the floor and I'm jumping in here, I want you to comment on this, has already come in and basically infiltrated and taken over. They just don't come and tell you something like that because they know how much integrity you have.
Yeah, well, it's getting back to the idea of, you know, how many people can you manipulate and coerce or force in one form or another by blackmail or any other means to do the things that you want done. I mean, that's basically what's going on. I mean, and I just can't envision that my country ever going this route. I mean, I could never have thought that this would ever happen here. But it has. You know, you can't go around saying things like this cannot happen here, like in the 30s when the Nazis took over, or when the communists took over, or whenever, you know, all these different power struggles have gone down through history. I mean, it can happen here. That's the whole point. And if we aren't vigilant, I mean, I keep saying democracy is not a spectator sport. You have to participate. You've got to get out there and keep the fight to keep it. I mean, this is something that people try to, down through history,
sure,
full of regimes that have tried to do this, just take the power away from the people and consolidate it and become the kind of dictator or despot that controls everything. I mean, this is really what's going on. This is our struggle. It has never changed down through history.
Absolutely. And, sir, look at the fact that a lot of dictators were bad, but they just wanted to control everything. Some of them were egomaniacs and actually built big things, started universities, did some good. I mean, I'm not endorsing dictatorship, but this dictatorship of these social engineers is really anti-family, anti-human, anti-individual. It's anti-Renaissance. It's like a corporate Borg. It's so alien that just my very, very genetic code says resist this with everything you've got.
Yeah, it says it basically says you will have no freedoms except those that we grant you. That's basically what their whole program is going to end up doing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. William Binney, former technical director of the National Security Agency, is our guest. We'll take some calls coming up in the next segment. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Looking at these bills, looking at the legislation, looking at the things that are being done. What is your overall view of the announcements that are being made, the things that are being engaged in?
Well, I mean, some of the things they're trying to pass, like the CISPUG putting it into this big funding bill and burying it in there and passing it through, is just another way of corrupting the process and getting it through under basically the cover of a massive bill. Those are the kinds of things they're sneaking through, and they're doing it by the leadership of our Congress is doing it. Republicans and Democrats are all supporting this. They're no different, really. So they're doing it because they know they can't stand out in the open and say the things they want to say in a bill. So they've got to do it in some kind of under the cover or kind of in a sneaky way to get it through. And so that gives them, and then they say that authorizes them the power to do whatever they want to do, which in fact I contest. None of that is constitutional, and any time it reaches in a constitutional test, it will fail.
And they were caught doing it all in secret and lying to the public and using it against political targets. It's all a fraud.
Exactly. Right. And they're afraid of having constitutional tests when in fact That is the true test of a law. Does it really conform to the Constitution or not? If it doesn't, it's not a law.
Well, clearly, if they can get away with this, they can get away with anything. I have been talking to a lot of big Hollywood people, a lot of big government people, and they are just terrified. They say, oh, I thought you were crazy about the NSA 15 years ago, Alex, but now it's all admitted, and I'm scared. I'm not going to speak out. So that chilling effect is kind of working. Don't these people understand giving into the fear is what ensures that the real next phase of oppression comes in?
Yeah, that's the whole point that I was making, too, by saying if you acquiesce in a democracy, you'll lose it. So you got to stand up and fight. That's what the people in democracy are supposed to do. You're supposed to stand up for your rights.
I know you never talk to colleagues at the NSA anymore because they'll try to indict you. And I know they've been harassing a lot of your other colleagues and folks. But isn't there a sense of shame? I mean, I know there is because look at all the leaks that they're having to fix intelligence, that they're funding Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I mean, I am seeing a lot of good signs. What I mentioned earlier and what Cy Hirsch is reporting, that there's basically a soft counter coup inside the military going on against a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I think, and I think you're right, because there's some other whistleblowers, like the four fellows who came out to blow the whistle on the droning, and basically the random slaughter going on there. So there's that too. Plus, I know internally, well, they're still so afraid of going into a court of law to be constitutionally challenged that it tells you that they're afraid of sunshine. You know, shining the light on, it's like picking up a rock and watching the. I draw the analogy, when you pick up a rock, you can see all the bugs and worms squirm to get out of the sunlight. Well, that's basically what our political leaders are doing now. And I'm not differentiating between any of the parties. They all seem to be a part of it. So I just throw them all together. If anybody does this kind of support for things that are simply taking away our rights and assembling knowledge in the central government about the people in the country, I mean, that's fundamentally what our Constitution was supposed to stop, and it was designed that way. The people were supposed to know what the government was doing. The government was not supposed to know what they were doing unless they had probable cause.
Instead, they open the borders up, don't check anybody, but stick a magnifying glass down our throats. I mean, it really is the breaking of the will of the American people. And I just can't believe how many men I know that are scared now to know we have a tyrannical government. You know, the whole thing's not tyrannical, though. There are a lot of good people in the government and in the corporations that are trying to stop this. We all have to speak out and get involved now, and we can turn the tide against this, and you're doing that.
That's my point. Yeah, I think the more people who stand up against this, the better chance we have of stopping it here initially, and then trying to initiate a stop around the world, because we started this infection, and it went through the British now, GCHQ, the Germans, the BND, and various other countries.
Let's talk about that national debate, sir. We've got a break. William Binney, okay. ExposeFacts.org. Want to wish you a Merry Christmas as well, sir. What a super patriot we've got on the line. And also have a dinner with this guy. Unbelievable fourth, fifth, sixth dimensional level thinking. You can tell why he pretty much built the NSA that's there today, folks. He is the master.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Our whole modern world has been about coddling, making sure we never have experiences that make us empowered individuals. The Pentagon ran a major PSYOP operation this summer. Jade Helm. Day one, we said it wasn't a military takeover or gun confiscation. We said it was a conditioning operation for troops on the streets of America for civil unrest and to also practice in the United States, but also overseas, using databases of information to roll in and out of cities undetected and to master the human domain. And the commanding general over it gave a slideshow that we've played parts of, admitting it's about mastering the human domain and controlling the population. I then ran into some special forces people. One of them very well known, but I'm not going to say his name. He'll probably end up being on the show. And they said, look, we all saw right through that. And the PSYOP they ran saying that this was this weekend, saying that you said we were coming to take over. Believe me, Alex, no one in SF, Army, Marines, Navy, no one buys any of it. And we know that's why they're rolling out with autonomous drones, robots, all of it. We get it. We know you're dead on. So, again, I'm not lionizing the military. I've always been critical of it being used and just worshipped mindlessly, you know, where the military's paying for them to, you know, have patriotic stuff at the Super Bowl. That's to sell the state as if it's the military with stolen glory. But they've got a big problem in that the boots on the ground, right up to the generals, they're trying to put all these weird pencil pushers in and all these weird politicos who've never even been involved in combat. They're putting, you know, guys that are political hacks in, especially under Obama. That it really endangers us against foreign governments, the delusion of the Hillary Clinton, the Obamas, the neocons, none of them have been in the military, to go start these wars with Russia. I mean, it's not just what William Binney was about to get into, former technical director of the NSA, with the situation with all these different governments and all the different systems spying, and there's too much data, so it makes everybody blind. It's beyond that. It's that they're starting wars with Russia. They're starting wars in Syria. They're doing unprecedented bad stuff. And even our top generals go, it's immoral. Why overthrow a country and have Al-Qaeda come in? That's what ISIS is, and murder the Christians. I mean, it's just so nasty. And it's not even Machiavelli, because it doesn't bring down Iran, their regime. It actually makes them look moral. I mean, it's hubris, it's arrogance, but you could also look at it like they're globalists running this. They want to discredit America. William Binney, I want you to get back into the points that you got cut off at the break on, but separately, being at the highest levels of the NSA, I know there's a method to some of the madness. Clearly they're running things, but also there's a lot of hubris and arrogance, and it really is scary to see a bunch of chicken hawks playing God and Hillary saying she came to Libya, she saw Gaddafi died, when the woman couldn't fight her way out of a wet paper bag. There's something obscene about a lazy politico shooting her mouth off about killing people. It just reeks of classic flaming megalomania, sir.
Yes, and in fact, I've been amazed at the arrogance of the intelligence community, even to our own government. I mean, they just seem to have them all wrapped around their finger. Much like J. Edgar Hoover did with most of the politicians in the House and Senate and the White House back when he was the director of FBI for, 40 years or so. So, I mean, he had information and knowledge about them, and if they didn't know that he did, they believed he did. So that's how he kept his power, and that this is getting very similar to that, but on a much larger scale. And I would point out that what's happening now is what we impeached and indicted Richard Nixon for. He was only doing a minor, minuscule amount compared to what they're doing now.
Yes, sir. Don't the elites know that historically, every time bringing in an oppression, a tyranny, a panopticon system like this will always end up destroying them? That they're going to be the number one targets of what they've created. They've dug a pit for us. Won't they be the ones that fall into it historically?
Well, I think if it gets really violent, like in World War II and so on, yes, they would be the ones to pay for it. But essentially, I think they're banking on the fact that this will be a long, drawn-out thing, and so they'll be able to pass it on to their successors and that they won't have to pay anything directly for it. So in other words, they'll be able to get by through their lifetime without having suffered any consequences, but their successors will be the ones to suffer that.
And by then, they believe technology will outrace that and they'll be secure, or they'll dumb the public down enough to do it. You're absolutely right. They are building a lot of redoubts, though, in different circuitous areas around the world right now, hedging their bets.
Yes, and, I personally like to get right in their face because they shrink away every time. It's a matter of, again, it's the idea of sunlight. They're afraid of sunlight, because then they will be the ones to suffer the consequences and the results of what they've done. That's what they're trying to avoid.
Like Karl Rove said, they control reality. No, they don't. They just avoid reality. It's called being delusional. William Binney, incredible to have you here. Other technical things people need to know about what's happening in the world right now, sir?
Well, it's basically the I think the greatest threat is to allow companies to continue to manage and have this kind of information about people, because then they have the ability, like we were talking about China, then they have the ability to go to China and see and then influence them in a way that would be very similar of accumulating information on individual citizens. I mean, in their countries, so. The companies, and they're international companies, so this is getting spread internationally and accelerated through that process. And I think that's probably one of the major things that we really should be dealing with here in this country and in Europe. I know the Europeans are trying to deal with it now, and I'm trying to give my 2 cents and contributions to them, and hopefully they'll start a worldwide effort that might be able to turn this around.
Yes, sir.
But I think holding companies responsible for the information they're holding is and in fact, probably even denying them the legal right to hold that data might be the best option eventually.
Well, if folks, and of course, when I have you on, sir, you're so influential, you have so much courage. I mean, it's just true. I don't normally gush like this with guests unless they deserve it. You're out there doing so many interviews, have gone through so much to warn people. I try to bounce stuff off of you, obviously, to see if you think it's accurate from my perspective. And it is even more frightening that pretty much always you concur with my basic analysis of it, just as a layperson looking at the larger geopolitical and cultural ramifications. But we know why they're trying to ban white Christmas and brown paper bags and saying if you serve Chinese food at a school lunch program, it's racist. They're projecting all these things that don't exist that aren't really racist or discriminatory because we're all being discriminated against by this new technocratic system being set up where if you're not a good little New World Order person, you won't be able to have a job or live or get a hotel room or travel. They're announcing all this. This is classical discrimination and oppression. And so they want us to define all these phantom menaces now while the greatest acts of institutionalized tyranny the world's ever seen are being codified into a physical surveillance grid that, as you said, is beyond any fantastical dream of George Orwell.
Yes, and I just liken this to the you know the case of the Wizard of Oz. This is the scenario they're painting is to basically pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, when in fact the man behind the curtain is them, and they're doing some very bad things.
Well, I think it's very important for the establishment to realize, let me ask you this, being up there at the highest levels. I know that the people at the mid-level and even high level that are patriots, I mean, I actually have bashed the government a lot. They've called me anti-government because I'm a libertarian. I'm not. But I've actually been impressed as I've gotten higher level, gotten to really know a lot of influential people across the board, that I find in government, actually, more moral people, more awake people, more concerned people, especially when you get higher up. It's very strange. Not to the very top, but that next to the top, they're the ones that are freaked out and want to do something. They got into this to really defend the country. I mean, somebody like you could have made, you know, $10 million a year with your science and mathematics, but you would, you know, take a pay cut and work at the NSA. So it's kind of a paradox that government's got so many problems, but then the corporations are just as bad, and then we tend to just either see it as good or bad. You know, are you for the government or against the government? It's more sophisticated than that.
Yeah, it's not black or white for sure. I mean, it's a matter of you know whether or not you agree with the underlying principles of why we formed this nation and got rid of George III, or you don't. And the point is, more and more people over time, I guess, we're becoming so comfortable in our living standard that we're losing what it took to get here. You know, we're failing to realize that in order to have all these freedoms, we had to work very hard and sacrifice a lot to get here. And that's what, you know, people who fought World War II have told Tom Drake when he did interviews with them. They were saying things like, what did we fight for? You know, given the current circumstance of where we're headed. I mean, we didn't fight for an omnipresent, you know, government monitoring everything the people in the country are doing. That's not freedom. And they were asking him and those questions, even when he was doing interviews for the National Archives as a part of his court settlement.
Amazing.
So, I mean, that's really a disturbing statement from veterans of World War II.
Well, my grandfather, he was deeply concerned because living here in Texas, they brought a lot of the rat line Nazis to Texas and New Mexico. And in the areas where he worked, had to run into them all the time. And he was always pretty calm when I was a little kid, staying there for a week or so in the summer. But he would rant about all the damn Nazis. And he had a lot of friends, obviously, killed in World War II and all the positions in government they were in. And that he was concerned that we were going to go that way. And, you know, my mom would say, oh, you're... You know, my dad's eccentric, my dad would say, no, he's smart. But, you know, I don't know what he would think seeing this today, William Benny.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. My dog's getting a little upset here.
I understand. You want to let the dog out, sir, and then we can...
No, I'm fine. He's okay. He just
wanted to be petted, that's all.
What kind of dog is he?
German Shepherd. He's a pretty big boy. He's about 125, 30 pounds, something like that. He's a big boy.
Well, I'm glad he survived the SWAT team raid.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't here at the time. That was good, you know. Otherwise, you don't know what they would have done.
When you looked at the federal SWAT team that came in on you, I know they had probably their faces covered. Were they proud of themselves while they were throwing your house to, you know, around and grabbing on you out of the shower? I mean, were they proud of their work?
No, I think they were a bit... it seemed to me that most of them seemed a bit disturbed as to why they were there.
That's good. That's what I've been finding.
Yeah, that's and that's basically most of them. The only one who wasn't there, who wasn't disturbed, was the guy who signed the warrant, the senior special agent Paul Marek. He was already cleared into the program, and he knew why he was there. He was there to get us keep the cover-up going on the programs that they were running that we knew about and that we were complaining to Congress about. So he knew that, and the rest of them didn't. So,
yeah, how dare you go to Congress, as you're supposed to by law, when the law is being broken, and secretly testify? How horrible. Yeah. Let's send and imagine that guy getting promotions because he would engage in things like this. What a dishonorable person.
Yes, that's hard for me to imagine people like that looking themselves in the mirror when they're shaving in the morning.
I want to go to some phone calls. I'm not going to play the clip because of time, but Apple's Tim Cook, their CEO, has come out on 60 Minutes and said they don't want to go along with these different bills, that it's an invasion of privacy. You notice, I don't want to glorify Steve Jobs, but he held off on letting him in to the Apple encryption. And 1 week after he died, Apple gave up the codes. Do you think that's lip service by Apple for customers, or do you think it's real?
Well, I think for Steve Jobs, it was probably real for sure. But for the rest of them, I think... See, the problem is they also get paid for all this information and this access, so it adds to their bottom line with no additional effort, basically, on their part.
Well, that's another question. Why put up NSA and FBI stingrays, tens of thousands of them, stealing all the cell phone data when it already runs through all the hubs and they can just have it sorted there and then bulk batch it? Is because they don't want a record that it was grabbed off the hubs? What is the point of that?
Well, that's part of it. The other part is that it adds to a greater program that they're putting together, which is called Treasure Map. That's the one where they're going to be monitoring where you are every minute of the day.
So it's a physical tracker.
Yeah. It's a contributor to that. It's another aspect of it that they may pick up missing information that they didn't get from other sources, you know.
Sure. Interlapping fields of fire. In fact, that's what I was told by some insiders that are pretty high up, is that they also might want to bring in an internet kill switch during a civil emergency or martial law, and they're putting in an alternate government internet right now.
I think they've pretty much already had that all along.
Yes. But they're going operational to command and control the local police.
Yeah. That's another disturbing part, yeah.
Good God, this takeover. Hillary said, I want it to be a Manhattan Project to protect us from terrorists and the internet. I've always called it a giant secret Manhattan Project takeover. And now she's calling it that, sir.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fundamentally what it is. We're becoming a very effective police state, much more than any other totalitarian state or system has ever developed.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Brandon in FEMA Region 3. Got about a minute and a half to break. Go ahead with your question, Brandon, for William Benny.
Hey, I wanted to get Mr. Benny's opinion on the FBI, NSA, and even the CIA coming out and saying that they're tapping people's phones without warrants and that it's to protect us. But I actually know a cop who did it and had a warrant, and he was later indicted and thrown under the bus for it. But if the feds do it, it's perfectly okay. Can you maybe get into that and break down?
Yeah, what about the hypocrisy of a parallel construction, the rest of it, but if a local gets caught doing it, it's federal or state prison time?
Well, you know, it's the arrogance of the intelligence. I mean, NSA, CIA, FBI are really at the core of this, just like they were at the core of the material that was used to impeach and indict Richard Nixon. These are the main players in the central collection and acquisition and use of material, like all the emails, phone calls, financial transactions, and so on. that are being collected primarily by NSA. They're becoming basically the central repository and processor for all this information. So, but they've all been in it together from the beginning. That goes back even to shortly after World War II when CIA and FBI or NSA were created.
Thank you, Brandon. So, William Binney, stay there, sir. Come back and finish that comment. We'll take more calls. The website's exposedfacts.org. Folks, don't take an interview like this for granted. Spread this to everybody you know. Welcome back, folks. Alex Jones here live. Mr. Binney will be with us 5 minutes the next hour. Then I'm going to cover news and continue with your phone calls. We can special reports as well.
Silver. It was back when the country was strong.
Folks, we know all the stuff that's happening is illegal. We know it's been used everywhere else to oppress people. There is a global race for surveillance by all these different countries and companies. They've broken all the rules. They've set up an economy based on gaming things, based on manipulation now, the stock markets, the interest rates. It's all fake. And it's ended the free market. It's ending capitalism. And then they're blaming capitalism for the standard of living beginning to slide. No, this is like a rigged casino. Casino's not capitalist. It's a con game. And the elites have no bottom now, it seems. They'll do anything. Because after all, Karl Rove said they control reality. Hitler and Napoleon thought that too. William Binney, former NSA technical director, is our guest. We're taking phone calls for him right now. Let's go ahead and talk to Jeremy in Kansas. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Binney got cut off by the break. What was the point you were making, sir?
Well, it was just that they're so arrogant now about even violating all the fundamental principles of our country that they think they can get away with anything. So, I mean, they don't seem to be afraid of anything, when in fact I think that's when we need to start standing up and making it clear that we're going to come after them for what they're doing.
That's right. They want to normalize all their activities. Jeremy in Kansas, go ahead.
Yes, amen to the theme of today's show, which is about moral courage, even or especially when it's scary and unpopular. So I want to ask a question about our necessary political strategy to restore and rejuvenate our inherent natural rights by asserting that the precursor to moral courage is intellectual courage or epistemological courage, and that the way that we're going to overcome the falsified left-right paradigm and overcome the perception managers is by going to the heart of what is actually being used against us, which is terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism. And to, you know, we see the manifestation of this after September 11th rolling out in Paris. And
sure, let me get William Binney's take on that as we get to other callers, but it's a good point. They're opening the borders. They're letting terrorists in bare minimum. They are stand-downs on 9/11. They are not letting the NSA do its job against real terrorists that's constitutionally protected. I mean, it's so obvious they're letting the terrorism take place to take our rights. How do we shatter that paradigm? It seems like we are, as it comes out, that the government's running ISIS.
Well, yeah, I think that exposure is certainly the key. I think that's the sunlight part of it. But that caller is absolutely right. I mean, what they're doing is they're using, first of all, they say they have to do bulk acquisition, and it buries their analysts. They can't figure anything out. They can't focus. So that means that more terrorist attack occurs. And every time one does, they go into their data and they find out, oh, yeah, we knew about these fellows, but they didn't do anything before to stop it, you see. So that they use now that terrorist attack to lobby for more money, more control, more information, more knowledge, for example. I would point to the French in their example, their experience, too. I mean, the previous, earlier this year, the attack in Paris, sponsored, you know, the acquisition of more money, more knowledge, more information, more analysts and so on for the French. But it didn't do them any good, even though they had this bulk acquisition system there again, because, again, their people could not focus. And then another Paris attack occurs, you know. And so now they're starting to do this time. It looks like they've changed their approach. And they're focusing on what they know about people and using that. And that's a focused, disciplined attack.
They're profiling.
Yeah, they're doing basically they're looking at the behavior, which is a profile, right, of people who do bad things. And they've got all that information already. It's just that they aren't acting on it until
absolutely
after an attack.
Stay there. Yeah. When we come back for a final segment, sir, we're honored for your time. I want to take it to the next level, though. The good people in government can't do anything because of the fog of all the data. But the bad ones behind the scenes, They sent the feds down to stop the FBI from stopping the San Bernardino shooters 2 years ago. So there's even more there. They're actually protecting them at one level. It's even worse. Stay with us.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
If you don't have constitutional protections,
boys tell how Bon Jovi fell,
you have nothing.
And left his living in a cheap hole.
Let's listen a little bit to Merle Haggard.
The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold.
So the story is, we're told.
The story ends, we're told. Ponto need your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty, too. He only did what he had to do.
William Benning's with us, final segment.
And now he's growing old.
Our government's breaking all the rules. Every time governments do this, hell on earth comes. Mr. Benny, I want to take a call or two. In closing, have you had any other points? But knowing history like you do, being able to run so many major operations successfully, you know, shutting down terrorists, you name it, defeating the Soviets, which you, I know, are a big part of. You don't toot your horn about that. But watching all these little men and women play warrior when they are just egomaniacs, I really fear for the future of the planet with people like this running things. And I don't know how the other elites, who I know aren't perfect, but I don't know why they'd want to let something so dangerous get into place.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I mean, I was on Reddit when I was in Copenhagen, and one of the questions they'd asked me was, what is the greatest threat to the people of the public in the United States? And I said, well, it's the U.S. government. And the reason I said that is that, you know, any number of things that have happened, we've gotten into wars that are not justified, and people die. We have maimed, you know. The part that gets me is that the veterans who are forced to go over in the military and go over and fight these wars and either die or come back maimed and so on, are now mistreated when they get back here. And that's really criminal. And it's like the arrogance of those in the positions of power throwing them out there. They don't pay for any of this. They don't have any consequences. It's all the people who are ordered to do things by them. They're the ones who suffer. And that's the part about the, you know, democracy is supposed to, that's why our founders, I think, set it up the way they did, to try to have knowledge about the government and what it was doing on our behalf, and with some reasonable sense of truth, which is not, we've not been getting truth here.
Well, there was goodwill out of our fair bearers. They wanted a new renaissance. They believed in humanity. They were fans of humanity. And the people we have running things are just fans of fraud and gangs. And the good news is, history shows, as you know, sir, that when you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And I know a lot of globalists want to cause a civil war in America, a soft civil war where they can go after all the patriots. They are so stupid. I mean, if that actually happens, with the military and the police as awake as they are, it doesn't matter what narrative they put out. Soros trying to have this war on police and all the rest of it, it's just going to blow up in their face. I think we're going to find that the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. What do you have to say about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right, because there are too many good, decent people in this country who are so patriotic and concerned about these issues. They're not going to be able to push this through. I just believe that that's the case. I really do, because I've met so many people in this country who are really feeling that our government is not doing the same thing. Even some of the polling, they say that our country's going the wrong direction. Well, it's because, you know, these people pull these fraudulent things, and we know what they're doing. We know they're corrupt in D.C. And so, you know, it's all a matter of resisting this and how you do that. And my way is to stand out there and speak all this, try to accuse them of the things that they've been doing, like treason against the founding principles of this nation and so on, and doing it on public and radio here with your show and also on television and so on. That's my way of doing it. Others can choose their own way, whichever way they feel comfortable with. But my point is, you have to stand up to defend democracy, or we're all going to lose it.
Well, we are losing our republic right in front of our eyes. Have a great Christmas, sir. ExposedFacts.org. Thank you so much for standing up for my family and everybody else's. Thank you, William Benning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Amazing individual. I wonder if it freaks the globalist out to have the guy that ran the NSA against the Soviets now fighting them.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Radio!
I think about Patrick Henry's famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. He says the cowards, okay, forget that you are our countrymen. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains set lightly upon you. But for those of us that know what's going on and happening, the war has already begun in the north. You can already hear the clash of arms. Men may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The next gale from the north will bring war. I don't know what course others are going to take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I mean, it's not even a question. You know, I was just thinking about Donald Trump during the break. He's made some big mistakes. He is super confident. His body language is he's not on a power trip. It's just that he doesn't like what's going on in this country. He doesn't like the country being deliberately shut down. He's bought into the American dream, and he's pissed. And I think about him trying to tax the big tax-exempt brokerage firms and make them bring their money back in the U.S. Huge. Defending the Second Amendment, defending our borders, saying don't let Muslims come in until they screen who's coming in, to make sure they're not a terrorist. That's all he's saying. The outrageous move is leaving the border open and then not even screening people. And then letting the refugees just disappear. But it's this war against reality. And then the biggest thing he does that makes the system hate him is he says, I want to turn our power plants back on. I want to have lower taxes to bring the jobs back here. I want to make it where companies can't bring their companies offshore and get tax exemption. Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. Look at how we got screwed over. Deliberately. The globalists are shutting our country down. They're bankrupting us. And Donald Trump is saying all the right things when it comes to that. And I know, I mean, it's not even hidden what's going on behind the scenes with Trump. But the mainstream media has not picked up on it, and I don't even know if I want to get into it here on air. I mean, the NSA's, they don't just have computers listening to me, folks. They got whole teams on me. And I see it as a badge of honor. I love it. I mean, I take it seriously. I don't laugh at it. But it's just, you know, that's what I came to do, was stand up against these people, and this is a good sign. When they put their people on the field against me, that's good. Let me tell you, I run into their people on the street, and they are embarrassed. So the globalists should know that. The people you're sending, they don't like their job. They don't like what they're doing. You may have some mentally ill informants and people, some wind-up toys you got out there, and they'll be dealt with. I mean, you don't think they're going to run federal operations against us that are controlled by the globalists, and we're not going to have other people on the inside blow your operations wide open. I don't have to do a thing. There's no conspiracy here, no racketeering here. I don't even know what's going on outside the sphere of my life and the analysis I do, but I'm not stupid enough to not understand that I wouldn't be here if I wasn't being protected. I got pulled over speeding the other day by an Austin cop. He didn't give me a ticket, and he said, Alex, I listen to your show all the time. You can drive a little bit safer, but you're going to pick your kids up at school. He asked me where I was going, what I was doing. He said, all right, well, you can go. You're not too fast over the speed limit. And he said, but, you know, I remember your protests and stuff 20 years ago and you'd get in our faces and stuff. You know, why'd you change your attitude towards us? And I said, listen, I just knew the globalists were taking over the police and the military and was threatened by it historically knowing. And so I was just trying to be aggressive to get the police to wake up. But now I found since this takeover is happening, the police and military are resisting it more than the public. And so I admire that. You sit there nodding his head. The cop even got a tear in his eye. It's a motorcycle cop. Because he loves this country. And I said, and one more thing. The last time Arde Saveda was here a couple years ago, I haven't asked him to come on. We should call and get him back on. Interesting police chief. Cuban refugee like Ted Cruz. And he said, man, you know, they sent somebody came here to kill you. He goes, you don't know about that? And I said, no. And he goes, we got to look into it. And he goes, but, you know, we had people on that, and we stopped them and took them in, but then they had to be released. But I can't get into it because of court stuff. And then I got sent this whole file and call by a detective in L.A. where this guy came here and went to all my known last locations and was staked out to kill me. And because you can argue all this NSA stuff, that was their argument. Well, we were following their social networks and stuff. They came and they stopped him. That's the other side of this. But it wasn't illegal stuff. They were looking at public stuff. They stopped him, and then they were going to basically indict the guy in California. They sent state police, and he killed one of them. And then they killed him. But, I mean, literally a police officer was killed in California trying to protect me. And there's some type of primitive level you get to where you, not the police in general or any of it, but when people do that, even though it's their job to do it, still you just can't piss on it. And it goes beyond that. I just wish the general public knew and understood how much danger they were in. And I guess a lot of people I'm finding tune into the show now. And they thought I was a kook 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and now I just scare the daylights out of people. Listen, if you've got, as I've said 1,000 times, black widows in your basement, and you say, look out when you're down there cleaning that out to, say, an electrician or whatever, there's a lot of spiders down there. It's not fear-mongering. There are black widows down there. I remember my dad, when I was working one summer doing some exterminator work, when I was like 13 years old. I don't know why they let me do that. Boy, I'm sure that wasn't good for me. Going underneath houses for one of those bugs, ones that eat the wood, the termites. And he said, okay, East Texas has got a lot of black widows, son. Any old boxes or anything in there, they're going to be in there, just in everything. I mean, spiders that'll kill you. And it's the same deal, folks. I'm just saying, man, we got spiders all over the place, okay? And that's not fear-mongering. It's good to know they're there. That's positive. And I always thought the globalists would only run America down so much. I always thought they'd still use us as the core of the empire. No, they want to mount our head on the wall. They want to overthrow every local government, city government, state government. They're going to put in literal UN Justice Department bodies. They're building from L.A. to New York to D.C. to, you name it, new UN buildings that, quote, monitor media and the police. I mean, and I tell Dr. Paul Kirk Roberts that, and he goes, oh, the UN's not taking over. And I'm going, wait a minute. It's not the UN, it's the globalist building parallel new government systems and giving them power. It's happening. And then I've analyzed it, and the only thing I've been wrong about is they really do plan on bringing this country down. And they really do plan on turning every police department basically into a politically correct communist operation. I mean, good God. So that's why I can walk through my control room and see every news channel showing the handful of out-of-control police to project it onto the rest of the police to make the whole revolution, Congress with a 9% approval rating, all of it, about them, and the feds will come in and overthrow them and take over. And I know I keep repeating that because that's the emergency beacon. That's one of the clearest areas you can see the attack profile. They did the same thing in Ukraine. They ran all these TV shows run by the West about the police being bad, the government being bad, overthrew the elected government, took it over, and started a war. I mean, they're running an exact operation against us. So I'm against the spying. I'm against illegal checkpoints. I'm against, crazy cops on power trips. Absolutely. And we do reports on them. But I'm not stupid enough to then just roll in to George Soros' operation. And I'm going to tell the police and military something. I used to hear the late, great Jack McClam say that the New World Order will come to your door in a uniform, whether it's good or bad. We need to target the police. But it's so true. We need to target them with the truth because they've never been more ready to listen. The military, I mean, it's scary how awake they are. That's not really a job to do anymore. The police are accelerating their awakening. The globalists are scared. I'm going to skip this network break. And we are just in the middle of an epic battle right now. It's so epic now that I can't even stop working. I just work all the time. I've never been a big drinker in my life, but I mean, sometimes I just got to go home and drink a six pack just to forget about all this stuff. Because I just cannot turn it off, folks. I dream about this stuff. I live it always. I know it's real. It's all out in the open. And man, these people that are taking over are really bad. I mean, it's like I'm chained up in the back of a van being driven around with perverts driving it. And I've got to watch them lure little kids in all day into the van. I got to sit there and watch them get away with it. And I got to watch them. I'm skipping the network break. I've got to watch them sit there and basically chop these kids up in front of me. And so I get why people don't want to admit this is going on. We're getting swallowed like by a boa constrictor, like it eats a baby pig here. I mean, this is bad. But we're not going to get out of this without standing up. And I'll tell you what shakes me. You couldn't write a book or a comic book more fantastical with, you name it, the tough guys of America. So you'd imagine are listeners of this show, right? And they're afraid. And maybe that's the way it is, but you know, some of their sons aren't. A lot of these folks think surviving is winning, not when the whole culture and the whole civilization is on the line. This system is about ending human survival and breaking the continuity of our species. This is about weirdo control freak perverts manipulating our genetics. Real perversion is not a guy in a dress, folks. Real perversion is putting salmon in the sea that grow three times faster and are twice as big as regular ones that will extinct all other salmon and are part insect. That's blasphemy. That's evil. Let's go to this piece that I shot for the Nightly News last night where I break down the fact that there is mutiny, good mutiny, against the globalist takeover. In fact, the word's not mutiny because it's not mutiny. It's an illegitimate hijacking. And I just can't believe we're going to let the globalist actually run a communist takeover model in America for a bunch of offshore banks. I mean, that's just too rich. Are you really going to let them do that? I mean, they've weaponized the media with all this race baiting and sex stuff and articles, folks. I mean, every few minutes coming out saying ball-face lies about me. Alex Jones ran a protest to terrorize Austin with guns and to scare everyone, and he was there, and they were running around with giant dildos waving them. I mean, it actually says that in Newsweek. Daily Beast. If you're a new listener, and I just said that, I'm not joking. This is what they do. Conspiracy theorists terrorized our town. And they say, I ran it, I did it, all this, all lies. We were critical of this demonstration overall because we didn't think it was smart, but it's their First Amendment right to do it. We have a right to say we don't think it's a smart way to do it. Shikari Jackson came to me a week before and said, this stinks. This looks like it could be connected to some stuff. I said, yeah, stay away from it. You're right. Good instincts. And again, that's just one microcosm example of how they've told him, go for broke. We're not worried about being sued. Attack. And I guess a lot of men see that attack and think, I don't want to be attacked by that. That's what men are supposed to do, is go out and confront the evil. Let's go ahead and go to this piece on the soft coup against the globalist takeover of America as some areas of our military struggle to save America as it's being strangled to death. Here it is.
Your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgency in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
It was a decision. I think it was a willful decision.
A willful decision to go support an insurgency that had Salafists, Al-Qaeda, and Muslim Brotherhood.
A willful decision to do what they're doing, which you have to really ask the president, what is it that he actually is doing?
Let's stop there.
That was General...
Yeah, it's an 8-minute video. I skipped the break. I went too late. I'll have to play it next segment. Let's go to some phone calls right now. Man, they really do hate us, folks. I mean, they send in teams all over Africa and all over the Middle East, and they're doing it in Asian areas, and they kill whole villages of peaceful Christians. The people that run our government literally can't get our own military to kill Christians, so they use Al-Qaeda to do it. I just can't believe it. I mean, I know evil stuff goes on, but man, you talk about crazed, dirty, stinking filth. When I look at Obama, I just imagine I can just smell the evil. I don't know how to describe it. I just my body doesn't want to be in his presence. I can't hardly look at Hillary Clinton anymore, because it makes me feel pathetic, demoralizes me, that this sack of weak, murderous filth. I mean, she's the author of Syria, folks. Hundreds of thousands of people, women into sex slavery, all of it. I mean, Obama in the TPP, Kit Daniels has a story about it at Infowars.com, allows human trafficking of slaves. They have slave labor all over the world at sweatshops, trafficked by China and North Korea and others. I mean, I'm not defending Putin, but you actually saw statements he made about a year ago. He goes, we use some North Korean labor on our borders with them to try to have relations, try to give them money to help their people. We do not like the conditions these workers are in. And we have our own workers, but we're attempting to try to give aid so that more people don't die. At least Russia said, like, you know, it's like when I say, I've got an iPhone made by slaves, I'm a hypocrite, but at least I admit it. I've got to hear about white Christmas is racist, and if you have different menus at a college, it's racist if you've got Southern food or Chinese food. What, that sounds like a great, great, great selection. Again, they just make stuff that isn't bad, bad, and then Obama brags to reporters, they talk about him chipping a ball into the hole to make him more human. Obama brags to reporters, I'm an excellent leader. Obama claims TPP, which expands slavery, is an example of his American leadership. Yeah, that Congress couldn't even see and the people couldn't see. But they all do it like con artists, out in the open. And they're using our money to build this giant prison grid around us while they laugh at us. I'm going to go to break, come back, play this clip, and go to your calls if you want to hold. We got Patriot in Africa. I'm sorry, you've been holding for 27 minutes. I'll go to you first, since you're probably calling on your own dime, and I'll get to others. Here's another article. Global warming, 51 Fahrenheit temperature recorded in Colorado. Other areas of the globe are also experiencing extreme cold. Another Kit Daniels article, very prolific writer. I'm going to go to this call in Africa. Patriot, what country are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Zambia, Alex.
Welcome, sir.
I was just driving.
driving between cities today and just seeing the devastation of the poverty. I mean, I was just getting so upset at the globalists. And then I remembered it's because we do nothing and we just let them get away with all of this. I mean, they're of their father, the devil, and it's up to us to stand up against them.
It's sick. They want to make everybody poor. What's your take on all the things happening, my friend?
Yeah, it's just out of control. Just Cloud and Piven, the technocracy, just the NSA spying. I mean, we have to have our national ID cards hooked up to our SIM cards in our phone here. So just that everything is dialed in, and it's just over the top.
And I know in Africa, the government's doing everything they can to harass the farmers that are self-sufficient. It's all about consolidating.
Yeah, don't worry. We're just going to get the GMO seeds, and then that'll solve everything.
Yeah, they tell you, we'll give you billions in aid, which is only given to select corporations in your country to build command bases, but you've got to plant only GMO, and you got to take these shots.
Yeah, I mean, the vaccines are just jacked with all sorts of stuff. I mean, you know the kinds of viruses, and God knows what else to put in there.
In Africa, I know folks are really awake. You've had a lot of your governments test the vaccines and find the sterilants in it. But then they block industrialization, which would make you not have kids to begin with. How awake are people, would you say, in Zambia?
Unfortunately, not very, Alex. I mean, I haven't met a single InfoWars listener while I've been here. But people know that something is wrong. They know that the governments are corrupt, and they know that, like the IMF and foreign banks, are trying to just loot us.
Well, they admit, I mean, it's not my opinion. People like to scapegoat Africa. Oh, they can't get their act together. They just blew up Libya that was jacking the whole system up. They blew up South Africa. I'm not saying that it wasn't bad, but they replaced it with something worse so that they can get everything totally cheap and control everybody. And they've got all the white papers, the Royal Commission on Population 49, you name it. They knew they could industrialize Africa and make it a jewel and reduce population, but they didn't. They instead funded a giant explosion in population and squalor. We align ourselves with the truth.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Chaos is hanging around. From tree to the ground. Shutter from the sound.
The death machine ain't slowing down.
The death machine ain't slowing down.
Growing pound for pound. Only thing you can trust is the love in your mother's eyes.
A gas mask is the couture.
Let's play some more of this song. Shooter Jennings.
They're building mass graves within the states. You and I, they'll vaccinate. They're preparing us for an all-out police state.
Shooter Jennings' career took off after he started coming on this show. And then, of course, you know what they told him. As if we would need someone to come on our show to be successful. Pretty much everyone I know in media, from low level to high level, gets phone calls and told, do not associate with Alex Jones. Don't you think Donald Trump was told that? Think he just accidentally came on this show? And you know, it really freaks the system out. I wonder how freaked out they're going to be in the next few months when we get some even bigger interviews.
Our only weapons totally.
See, it takes their pleasure away when we're not afraid of them. Yeah, we're locked up in a room with vampires. We got weapons. Got the truth.
With home they try,
and their bark's a lot bigger than their bite. There's a reason they target us when we're little. It's the reason they target us when we're children, with the media and the culture. They're afraid we grow into men and women. This is the animating contest of liberty. This is the destiny of our species being decided. You are alive. You have the programming, you have the will, you have the spirit. Even if you've been under bondage to break free from this. God gave you the antenna that is your soul to break free from this. Nico and everybody was rightfully saying, hey, man, you haven't plugged anything all day. You didn't really do it yesterday. Why aren't you doing it? When I really get focused, when I get centered, I need energy. I need money to fund this operation. But it's really hard to get up here and talk about how great the products are and push them when I'm getting into such serious issues. Most talk show hosts plug every segment, and they need to, but talk radio is going bankrupt. Advertising is shot, the economy's in shambles. We plug about once an hour. We do everything a little bit different. We mainly sell our own products. We still have sponsorship. But I'm so not neurotic. I just have so much trouble with sponsors, making sure they're great, making sure they're right, making sure their quality stays the same, that I went 2 years, 3 years almost, without having a water filter company because I just couldn't find anything really good. Stuff that had been good, in my opinion, you know, we had a lot of complaints. It wasn't as good as it were. I just couldn't do it. And people were like, you're going to not do this? Why? I'm not. And I just can't believe in this world that that's like so special. I don't want to be screwed over. I mean, is it really weird that I want a fair shake? Is it really weird I care about people? And I realize a lot of people just aren't even really alive. We have a bunch of products, and they're all really good. You know, I say we have the best deals on shortwave radios. And then I had this big pain of conscience driving home the other day. I went, I made that deal on those radios 10 years ago to get the best deal then on the best quality. Have I even checked the prices or that it is the latest and best and everything so that I actually say that and it's true? Because everything else I know is just top of the line best. And I called Weldon up, and he said, no, they're a great company. They're always giving us the latest and the best deals. It's all built in, boss. Don't worry about it. And it's just good to have people like that that are over there working on it. But see, imagine having a conscience and really wanting to really certify what I say being accurate versus these people that just hop around lying all day to everybody. Let me tell you something. You start lying to people, you start lying to yourself. And I'm not going to be part of that. I don't even plug in the shortwave radios, AM, FM, weather radios, you name it, crank powered, solar power, whatever. Yeah, I like having a strong, good house with a gate on it. I like having a car that's reliable and fun, one of the few pleasures I have. But I don't worship money. And I realized that when they used to intimidate me and say, how dare you try to make money, that was their big attack 10 years ago. Alex Jones is about money. When I was giving my films out for free and, you know, would live in a modest house, and if I made more money, I'd hire more crew and try to expand the operation. I was more happy then, too. They'd send stalkers to my house and all the rest of it, so I had to move. And then they would try to come after me and take everything I had to shut the company down. I realized, this is dumb. They're afraid I'm going to grow. They're afraid I'm going to build a larger network. I didn't want to be the leader. I wanted to put the word out like Paul Revere, and then, you know, they have the Continental Congress, and George Washington comes out, and we, you know, and I'm just a part of it. That's just not how it works. It's the opposite of a power trip. Looking around this world, looking around this country, and I ain't George Washington, folks. I'm far from it. And let me tell you, I'm the closest thing to George Washington there is in this country. That isn't bragging. That's the truth. That's scary. In the modern world of information warfare, I am a general. And I need other men and women out there, CEOs, corporate people, you name it, not to call me, not to come up with some great master plan. You need to take action. You know what to do. Speak out. Say no. Start your own show. Get involved. But whatever you do, take action. Because it's almost become like a fascinating, fun thing to sit around you know, be sitting around with special forces people or billionaires or whatever, rocket scientists, and they're all, you're absolutely right, oh my God, all this, it's terrible, what are we going to do? You know, do we leave, do we run to New Zealand and all this stuff? We're going to stay here and fight once it gets really bad. Buddy, it's already got bad. So whether it's the nutraceuticals or whether it is all the other products at InfoWarsStore.com, buy them and you're funding the operation, and you know this operation is having an effect. And they really are. Things like the nascent iodine is so powerful that I say consult a physician, because it isn't a joke. Nobody else has got this. I mean, I went out and sought out the real game-changing stuff. It's real. Try it. I'd rather come in here and plug for 30 seconds a day and fund our operation and then shut up about it. Try Brain Force. Try Supermail. Buy some of the non-GMO seeds. Plant a garden with your kids. Whatever. Try the coffee. See if you like it. Get a free coffee cup. Give a gift. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. But more importantly than that, support our local AM and FM affiliates. Become a sponsor. Donate money to them. Put a billboard up. Get aggressive. Everybody trying to protect themselves and hold it in and be small and keep their head down. I mean, so many people that have money just hoard it and sit on it. You're going to lose all that money, and you're going to lose everything you got if you don't invest now in freedom. There's a war. Did anybody tell you about that? All right, let's go to this piece, and I'm going to skip this break, too. It's coming up for Christmas. It's my Christmas present. I say, send the money, and we need money. By the way, skip half the breaks and bankrupt the radio network. They told me I can. I just can't help it. I mean, I am GCN, so it doesn't matter. And I'm not bragging. I don't say that to be aggressive. It's like we're under attack, people. That's why I'm telling you how big we are. I've known this for a while. But we're under globalist attack because we're hurting them. And I mean to go on standing up to them. I need your help. I need your prayers. And let me tell you, it's the opposite of a power trip. As the evil rises against you and your family and myself, everybody's going through transformations right now. This is a critical time in history. Everybody feels it. But I have to pray to God every day to be able to control the discernment, the understanding. It is so incredible to be enlightened and awake, and then I just see sad people unaware of what's going on. And they had their whole lives stolen from them, their whole destiny stolen from them. It's so sad. They were messed with from childhood with all these chips on their shoulders and false ideas and twisted garbage. And I just want people to realize the power you have. Let's go ahead and go to this piece on the incredible developments with the military, starting out with the head of defense intelligence. I played this 30 or 40 times. I keep telling you it's a huge deal, and it happened 2 months ago. More generals are doing it. They're saying we're backing Al-Qaeda. It's wrong. It's evil. Something should be done. And then now Cy Hirsch, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, has more intel that just confirms everything we said here first. But I'm not bragging. It's crazy that they authorize high-level intelligence operatives to come on this show, like Colonel Schaefer, who's in very secretive high-level groups in Congress and in the UK. And he used to come on and get in big trouble. Now they go ahead, go on, tell people what's going on. Ambassador Stevens was murdered. I really meet with Navy SEAL families. I really have met with Navy SEALs days after they blew up the helicopter. I was driving home from that meeting that day and trying to shoot a YouTube video and upload it, and my body was burning. I had to pull over, and I had to throw up. And it wasn't because I was scared. It was that I wanted to fight these people so hard that I was like a race car engine about to blow. I mean, it takes a lot of will to put 20-something Navy SEALs on a helicopter because they know the Bin Laden raid was fake and blow them up. And then to know the families all know. We've had them on the air, some of the families as well, but this is when it happened. You try hitting the barbed wire first every time and then watching a bunch of cowards point their finger at you. People that I've known a long time admit, no, man, I make fun of you and stuff because I'm scared. I know you're right. I want to be protected. How dishonorable is that? Good God. Good God. Good God. To actually know it's all evil and happening and then join with it. I had, who's that TV movie star guy, writes a bunch of conspiracy theory books, you know, for, he comes on, he had Christopher Walken came on the show with him. Richard Belzer, and I'm not knocking Belzer, I'm going to have him back on the show. And I was bashing George Soros and his Nazi collaboration. He said, now be careful, because, you know, Soros is the left and all that. He goes, be careful. You know, he had to do that or he'd have been killed by the Nazis. And I said, Belzer, you could put a gun to my head and tell me go round up kids hiding in basements. And I'd say, pull that trigger, you son of a bitch. Or I'd probably say, oh, absolutely, let me work with you. And then as soon as they put the gun back in the holster, I'd kill him. And, folks, that didn't talk. People need to understand I'm for real, okay? The government knows that. They know, okay? And the reason I'm talking about me here is not from some position of narcissism. It's from a position of I have Americana flame. You have Americana flame. If we spread the brush fires in the minds of men and women, we can win. I am 1776, and so are you. Let's go to the piece before we run out of time. David Knight's coming up after that. Here it is.
Your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgency in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
It was a decision. I think it was a willful decision.
A willful decision to go support an insurgency that had Salafists, Al-Qaeda, and Muslim Brotherhood.
A willful decision to do what they're doing, which you have to really, ask the president, what is it that he actually is doing?
That was General Michael Flynn several months ago on Al Jazeera talking about the fact that President Obama gave them orders to basically build up ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and that was the set policy. And the interviewer says, oh, you mean they didn't know what was happening? He says, no, they consciously told us to do that. Well, this is the information we had 3 years ago from military, high level and low level, giving us the same information. And the fact that General Dempsey, on the eve of airstrikes against Syria, went to the White House and said the military from the brass on down are not going to be Al-Qaeda's air force. And we saw Senator Ted Cruz go public. We saw Senator Rand Paul go public and make similar statements that our military and our people do not want to be Al-Qaeda's air force. Now, since then, we've had the schizophrenic or helter-skelter or oxymoronic policy is a better term of Turkey and other countries funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, and the West giving them weapons, TOW missiles, Stinger missiles, you name it, Hillary Clinton namely. Benghazi was just one part of that. It's ongoing. At the same time that the United States military and CENTCOM has been giving intel to the Russians, giving intel to the Syrians, giving intel to other people that are actually fighting ISIS. Now, we've known this. We've had CIA whistleblowers on like Tosh Plumlee. We've had Colonel Schaefer on to talk about it. InfoWars has been at the very forefront of exposing it. But now, in a review of Seymour Hersh, the two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, his new book, Military to Military, a London Review of Books, it's also in other publications like New Yorker, have excerpts of his new book interviewing other generals, as well as Flynn, breaking all this down. I mean, this is incredible. And mainstream media almost spins it like it's not a counter-coup happening with the military saying no to treason, arming Al-Qaeda and ISIS. But that's what it is. And so then the State Department separately, just as Tosh Plumlee exposed 3 years ago, has to use its import-export power to order weapons transfers that's even above the Pentagon and the CIA. The military may have its problems and certainly, you know, aren't perfect, but they don't want to arm Al-Qaeda to murder every Christian group in Syria. They don't want to overthrow our allies, Egypt, and put the Muslim Brotherhood in that's Al-Qaeda light. They understand this is directly against America's interest, and it's a war crime. And again, it doesn't even help our country or even our own elites. Why are they doing this? Well, the argument is if Assad's an enemy of the West, even though he tried to help us on 9/11 and other events, but still is his terrorist, if he's a supposed enemy, take him down regardless. But you don't take him down and then put people in that are 50 times worse. So there's a major fight going on for the heart and soul of America. And I got to tell you, I'm always hearing this talk about let's have a military coup, let's stop the globalists that way. Military coups almost always turn out worse than what you already had. But with the situation in World War II in 1944, when the German high command knew that what Hitler was doing was going to destroy Germany, that they'd lose millions of more people, that the Soviets were going to occupy them, that the Russians were going to come in, they moved to eliminate Hitler. Now, I'm not saying anybody should go after Obama because he's just a puppet, but the neocon globalist groups that he represents and the Clintons and others are steering this country towards World War III, not just in Syria, but in Ukraine against Russia. They are a clear and present danger. And I can only liken what's happening to a soft Valkyrie or a soft counter coup, because it's not a coup. We already have foreign globalist corporate hedge fund interest and their front people, who aren't even military, playing with stuff that could cause World War III very easily. And it's our own military that's usually pushing for war in the days of Curtis LeMay wanting nuclear war with the Russians and L.L. Emitzer. Usually I'm like, let's have the statesmen hold back some of the war hawks at the Pentagon. It's the war hawks at the Pentagon, time and time again, quietly trying to stop what is leading, most analysts say, towards a larger confrontation with Russia that could easily lead to thermonuclear war. They call the Cold War World War III. So really, this is World War IV, a hot war that we're on the verge of. And World War I started in proxy wars. World War II started in that as well. We are going down a very, very dangerous path. But the good news is the globalists have gone too far. They've jumped the shark. I mean, it takes a lot of nerve. They've got to think we're really stupid to try to openly overthrow all these Middle Eastern countries, including our allies, create failed states in places like Libya and Syria, and then Hillary gets in the Democratic debates 2 weeks ago and says, Libya and Syria are right where they're supposed to be, a failed state, breaking them up in pieces and then giving part of it to the radical Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabia. That is working with terrorists. That is opening the door to them. And that brings us into part two of this. Why would they bring in millions of jihadis, invaders out of Syria, people that came in to invade Syria into Europe, hundreds of thousands in the U.S., knowing they're going to attack? Well, they think we're so stupid that when the jihadis do attack, they'll take our guns, our liberties, our freedoms, instead of stopping the flow of the folks that are attacking us. They're going to use this threat. And MSNBC, The Morning Joe, just today, came out and said, don't worry about the Islamic threat. Worry about white gun owners. They're the big crime rate. Despite the fact, and we'll show some of these on screen, crime rates are down over 50%+ since 1991, and white males consist of the lowest crime rate of any male group. Look it up for yourself. But, there's an epidemic of white males killing everyone. This is an inversion of reality.
You're telling Muslim Americans they all need to come out and talk about the tiny percentage of their community that has kind of, quite frankly, wreaked havoc. But yet, you look at the data of white men with guns wreaking havoc on this country. Why aren't white men all coming forward? Why don't you call on them to do that?
Doing a lot of things.
And finally, in the hypocrisy department, Hillary Clinton during the Democratic debate this weekend said that Donald Trump's being used in ISIS recruiting videos. The entire media checked it. It's not true. Turns out the Clintons are being used in ISIS recruiting videos. Turns out the Clintons have been giving weapons through Benghazi to ISIS and on other occasions. So this shows how dumb they think we are. Hillary out Brian Williams years ago, claiming that she'd been in Bosnia and Herzegovina, Serbia, and had been shot at in the air, shot at on the ground, and then they cut to the CBS footage. Nothing happened that day when she got off the tarmac onto the red carpet. She's a liar. So why is she allowed to blame Donald Trump for ISIS when out of everybody that's involved in this, she, as the head of the State Department, literally quarterbacked the operation?
What difference at this point does it make?
Now, David Knight's going to break down more excerpts of Cy Hirsch's book here in just a moment, right here in this studio. But we wanted to really focus in on this tonight because it's a big deal. This is going on behind the scenes, and it gives me a lot of faith that there are still a lot of good people in our government and in our system, but they need us, we the people, to stand up and support what they're doing as well. Because if the fact that criminals have hijacked our government, are funding terrorists and letting them into our country to destabilize us ever gets out of the general public, it could cripple the globalists forever. We are at a key point now, ladies and gentlemen, and this is not a coup because the globalists have already taken over. They're illegitimate. The military is engaged in a stealth, very moderate counter-coup against what the establishment's doing, and it is a big, big deal. And truth is stranger than fiction. I never imagined that we'd see resistance to this tyranny coming from these quarters, but it is happening. Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com. Now, that's just part of the report. And if you're a TV viewer, to understand where I come from, no makeup, I'm sweating. I was totally exhausted yesterday evening. And I just gutted up and said, I've got to do this report. And so the reason I point out that it doesn't even look perfect is stop thinking you've got to look perfect to take action. You've got to have all the answers. Just do the right thing, speak up, get involved, and I'm telling you, God will carry you the rest of the way. I've experienced providence the last 20 plus years that is miraculous, but it doesn't exist unless you take action. In every case in the Bible and in history, George Washington wrote about this extensively, when you put everything on the line for the right reason and ask God to carry the rest of the way, God will. You don't just say, oh, I believe in the secret New Age, I'm going to get everything given to me. God gives to people that have a mission to help others. And that means protecting you and you being rewarded as well, but only so that you're strong. We can defeat the New World Order with God's help. But it's going to take humbling ourselves and seeking God's face and repenting. And if you can find a good church, most of them are taken over, run by the feds. Good luck to the denominations, but there are some good ones out there. This Christmas holiday coming up, I just want you to know I love you, viewers. I love you, listeners. I am super humbled by your kind words and by your support. That's why I ask you to please stop it, because it isn't about me. But it's become about me in the media, just like Donald Trump now represents conservatism, whether he is or not. So we do have to then actually say who we are so that folks understand what we stand for and what we go through and what we feel versus who they claim we are. And it may be ugly sometimes the way I fight. It's because, you know, it's real. It comes from the gut and I get exhausted and I throw fits and I stumble through the day sometimes. But at the end of the day, my heart is pointed towards justice. I'll do five more minutes, then I'm going to go a little bit in with David Knight coming up in the fourth hour. I hope your stations carry it. Merry Christmas to everybody and a happy new year and peace on earth. And thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you for his sacrifices. It's going to become more apparent. The choice.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
The choices will become more apparent. And the reason I'm here is so that folks, as things get worse and more intense and more dehumanizing, know they always have a choice. Let's go to Rebecca in Washington State. You're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for holding so long.
Yeah, hey, Alex. Amen to you, brother. I have so much admiration for what you're doing.
Please, no. Please.
I'm as obsessed as you are about trying to wake people up to the truth of what these criminals are doing to our country. And I live in Washington State. We are blanketed every day with the spraying of all the aluminum and
we don't get vindicated, you know, now that the feds come out and admit they're spraying us. It's admitted. They just admit it like it's no big deal this week. Associated Press, you name it. Just, oh, yeah, there's stuff in the jet fuel. Yeah, it's doing stuff in the atmosphere. Oh, big deal. Just go back to sleep. Everything's fine.
Well, yeah, and, you know, people say, well, why are they doing this? Well, I think I've got it figured out. They've got all these countries in so much debt, and they have so many promised liabilities that they cannot fund them. So So they have to get rid of us somehow, some way.
Well, that's it. That's it. And they also don't want to share the resources with the public or the life extension. And they want to get everything organized before they supposedly launch off-world colonies. And they've made the decision that humans are obsolete. They're going to merge with the machines. So they're just taking over the future. They're stealing the future. In fact, that's what this segment's called. They've stolen future. The elite are stealing our future. Literally. I appreciate your call. God bless you. Have a great Christmas. Let's go ahead. And who's up next here? He's been holding the longest, John. John in Wisconsin, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, I've been noticing something here in southeast Wisconsin. They've been mounting boxes about the size of a lunchbox, maybe a little smaller, and they're colored white. And there's a 11 or 12-inch square antenna mounted on these things that are configured like a diamond, and they're pointing in different directions. I've seen them inside small towns down here.
They've got Google programs. You can take a photo of that, and then it'll tell you what it is. But they're putting in all sorts of GPS trackers, all sorts of license plate readers. They've got tracker chips in all the new cars. They're putting in antenna systems to steal your passcodes, record everything you're doing. I mean, it is just, like Hillary said, it's a Manhattan Project. How many times did I call this 100 times the Manhattan Project? That's what the world government is. Geoengineering, total tracking, poison in the food and water. I mean, what we know is it's just so jacked up, it'll blow your mind, brother. I mean, it is crazy.
Well, I don't know if you said it, but I heard it somewhere that some states are putting RFID chips in their yearly stickers.
Oh, of course. Yes, that's what's going on, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we had our guys, Joe Biggs and others, up reporting on Islamic training centers, and Homeland Security called up and said, oh, you're at the corner of this and that, we're tracking you. Yeah. Oh, you're tracking our phones? Well, we're just not going to say. We're just tracking. We know where you're at. Just total Fourth Amendment. They didn't have a warrant to track where they were at. They just did it. But they can't stop the radicals coming in to attack us. No. We're going to go to break. Thank you, John. David Knight's coming up. A new senator lectures us on the dangers of supporting executive orders out of partisan loyalty. He's going to get into update on jury nullification, what's happening in the country, GOP. Gone Democrat, a lot of special stuff coming up, a lot of different video clips he's going to have in the next hour. I'll briefly talk to David and then hand the baton over to him. And then I'll be filing some special reports and things that will be airing tomorrow when David hosts. It'll be hard for me to even be home. Because every time I'm with my children, and I'm with them a lot, I just feel like I should be out fighting the globalists to protect them on the battlefield in the info war. And that's why it's just hard to see other people sitting around in the trance, having no idea what's going on. I mean, this thing is so big, it's so out of control. If we just admit to it, it'll all come down. And we're on the edge of being able to do that right now. We're in the fight, folks.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in. She's changed the lock on our front door. My door key don't fit no more, so get it on over.
David Knight's about to take over. We got loaded phones, so you can go to those. It's up to him, but not that we can let folks go. Apologize for not getting to all of you. I've been talking a lot about the fact that this radio show, this TV show, our media platform, Infowars.com, is reaching conservatively 20 million people a week. I mean, that is a very conservative number. I can walk through those. It's actually, I mean, that means really reaching people actually tuning into the broadcast on podcast or AM and FM or YouTube and all the other platforms. And the great part about it is the good news with all this bad news is we can see the IP addresses. We ought to do this sometime and just show all the IP addresses that are coming in by the millions every month from government computers, foreign state governments, military installations, you name it. And what do you think it did when they tell the military under Clinton and then again later under Obama, you know, you can't go to Infowars.com on base. And everybody just wants to go to Infowars.com. So I'm not here tooting our horn. I'm giving you good news in the info war that we're reaching more people all the time. And the military and people in government. We call up many times to get a congressman on or somebody, and they go, listen, the congressman will, you know, call us back or whatever. I'm a big listener, but I politically don't want to do it. I heard the show yesterday, by the way. Or we get, you know, a congressman on from Tennessee or wherever, and never had him on before. They're like, yeah, I was just listening yesterday. I mean, it's a big responsibility. And I keep going back to that, that it's exponential right now. And we're just one group doing this. There's many other people, many other organizations. And I want to caution folks starting up new websites, starting up new radio shows and stuff. Once you get a little bit of traction, you'll immediately have people that'll try to get you infighting or will make stuff up about you. Don't respond to it. Move on. Those are admitted governmental tactics. They legalized the CIA to operate domestically. And it's formulas that they outsource to basically federal informants and people to try to just mess with you. And then to get you into the whole soap opera of fighting with them and their allegations and all the rest of it. Ignore it all. Move forward. No one's listening to them. They don't have an audience. If you talk about all this stuff on air, people think you're talking, you know, space alien. I only occasionally put these messages out as inside baseball to activists to understand when you're attacked, it's good. I mean, I'll take maybe one out of 50 articles that attack us every day, and it's more than that. It sounds ridiculous, say 200, 300, and just say, look at this lie. This is what they do. But it's an illustration of how they deceive, not about defending ourselves. Truth doesn't need any defense. And we have people that are bankrupt psychologically and spiritually that want to rule the world right now. And they need us to be bankrupt psychologically and spiritually. Actually, what's happening now is a good thing overall. Because every generation, every culture, every society, every age particularly, there's seasons within seasons and then seasons, goes through crises and faces different hardships. Ours is having incredible entertainment, decadence, drugs, distractions, but so much knowledge at the same time, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink, so many ignorant people in the midst of the greatest knowledge ever. And if we can transcend these great tests, then we can be judged by God to go to the next level. And everything I've noticed in the universe is repeated. Of course, there's a triune of God. It just all resonates. The more knowledge you get, you genetically are your ancestors living on through you, a spliced mix of all of them with instincts crystallized that you can tap into and then are like full recordings. The elite know about this. This is why they keep their bloodlines together. But they got a bad movie they're watching. We have to counter them with our knowledge. Race memory. I mean, wow, man, you know. Come on. George Lucas admitted his Star Wars films were trying to tap into race memory. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Whatever. I'm not going to go any further there. The point is that this is the animating contest of liberty. And those of us that burn so bright against the tyranny have to remember that, like a race car driver, you can't rev it up to 9,000 RPMs all the time. And I'm the same way. And I have to literally pray to God to let me stop thinking about this and turn it off and just enjoy myself and watch a goofy movie with the kids or play board game or take them swimming or hiking or whatever. And so I know why a lot of people can't handle this stuff, because it is real. It is real. And that's why they at one end try to create infighting, demonize us in the national press, inject disinfo, ridiculous conspiracies where every shooting's a hoax and everybody's a crisis actor and Alex Jones is Bo Bridges and Bill Hicks and all this stupidness. And they have major newspapers call me like it's serious and are you Bill Hicks to fan the flames of that mental illness. I mean, let's just say I'm Bill Hicks, which I'm not. He'd be 60 years old or something. Let's just say I'm Bill Hicks. What are you doing to fight the New World Order? They're trying to forcibly inoculate everybody now all over the world. These vaccines are deadly. Read the inserts. Let's do something about that. Let's do something about GMO. Let's do something about the open borders. Let's do something about the moves to shut off our power plants and deindustrialize us. Real simple. You give us cheap electricity, the jobs will all come here. Period. That's why I harp on stuff. I want to see you win. I want to see innovation. I want to see the clean energies. I want to have life extension for myself and my family. and you. I want us to share the bounties of the future together. But cowards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Selling out to this beast system, going along with it, only means that you will be destroyed. David Knight, I've been quite philosophical today, but these are the times that try men's souls. You've been here 3.5 years, pulled up stakes in North Carolina, sold your house, brought your family down here, an engineer, think tank activist, exposing major stories on your own up there. You've been here, you've seen the inside of it. We now see it everywhere. There's an explosive awakening happening right now. The establishment's turning up the heat with their lies. I mean, it's really discrediting, I think. But I guess they're just trying to set the precedent where they can do anything they want. What is your gut feeling on the state of the union, the state of the world, as we move towards Christmas?
Well, Alex, things are getting better, and they're getting worse. You know, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. We're seeing people with integrity like William Binney that you talked to earlier come out. We've seen integrity on the part of the people at the Pentagon who are opposing Obama, working with Al-Qaeda, working with ISIS, funding them. So we see that kind of opposition. People trying to work within the system, eventually coming out as whistleblowers, as we see now these retired generals coming out. So that's a very important thing. I think we need to understand that. It is all coming to a head. I thought it was very interesting when you talked to William Binney and you asked him about Stingray. He said, why would they need this in addition to all the monitoring that they're doing with our phones and our internet communication? And he used a term I'd never heard before. He called it treasure map. Now, when we were looking at the Jade Helm situation, remember the subtitle of that was Mastering the Human Domain. That's something that's been talked about. They've had massive...
Treasure map intersects it live time with the tracker chips in the cars.
Exactly. It's geospatial intelligence. It's an entire field. And of course, they want to tell us, oh, metadata is all we're collecting. Metadata is not important. Metadata is the most important thing because that's how they track you. That's how they map you. That's what treasure map is about. We talked about activity-based intelligence. We talked about human domain analytics. That is all part of mastering the human domain. It's an entire field. Geospatial intelligence. And of course, James Clapper has been in that field, has been a keynote speaker for the trade conference for that year after year, for about 15 years now. So that's a key
in a conspiracy,
insight.
Stealing our tax money, lying to us, and then not protecting us with it. It'd be one thing if this was pointed outside the country. It's pointed at us. I'm going to hand the baton to you, my friend. Great job. I just want to say it's amazing working with colleagues like you and the rest of the crew. And I know you're about to go to break, come back with all the serious news, but spend a little time this Christmas season talking about InfoWars, talking about the listeners and what this fight means to you and what your experience has been like, because the listeners really like to hear that personal perspective, David Knight. And I'll see you soon, my friend.
Well, thank you, Alex. And it's really been a pleasure to be here, to work with you, to see you up close and personal. A lot of people wonder what that's like. It really, you can really see the commitment of Alex here, and we can't do it without your help. And certainly, it's absolutely essential that you understand that people who are in the military, people who are intelligence community, people who have the possibility to be whistleblowers, to stand up, to do the right thing, just as Alex was saying before, if somebody tells you to go round up kids or we're going to send them to an execution chamber, you say, just kill me. We're not going to do that. You have to understand that if you bow down to this, it's only going to get worse. That's the reason I came here. I'm sure that's the reason Jakari Jackson came here. Jakari's going to talk with us when we come back. We want to get into some detail on this one-minute report that Jakari, you've probably heard cycling through the radio program today. That, of course, is some people, some Republicans in the Senate that are preemptively moving to shut down Obama's executive orders on gun control. Of course, he's looking back at all of his wonderful accomplishments, and the New York Times is listing his Trans-Pacific Partnership. That hasn't technically passed yet, but you watch. They're going to do that. They're going to do that before the end of the year. This is going to be a midnight Christmas Eve gift or New Year's Eve gift like the NDAA was when he did that, or like the Federal Reserve coming in. That's the type of thing that's going to happen. Of course, they paved the way for that with the Trade Promotion Authority. So that's just going to be a formality that's going to come through. But he's looking back at what he's done over the last several years, over 7 years. He's got one more year left. And of course, he said on multiple occasions, and the press has said on multiple occasions, the one thing that he hasn't done yet that he wants to get done is massive gun control. And of course, he's not going to get that through Congress. So if he's going to push that, he's going to push it by executive order. So Jakari is going to break down for us the move by senators to push back against that. And we have an amazing video we're going to play for you of a new senator, Ben Sasse, I think is the way his name is pronounced. He talks about what it means to sacrifice the rule of law, allowing executive orders just for partisan politics. Democrats and Republicans need to hear what he has to say. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back to the Alex Jones Show, this fourth hour news roundup. I'm David Knight, and joining me right now is Jakari Jackson. If you've been listening to the show, you've heard Jakari's spot talking about how some senators and Republican senators are moving to preemptively shut down Obama's anticipated move to enact gun control by executive order. Ignoring the laws, ignoring the Congress, the people who make the laws, and of course, ignoring the Second Amendment. I'm going to take some of your calls, those of you who are still holding. I will get back to your calls, but in this segment, I want to talk to Jakari. Tell us what's going on in the Senate, Jakari.
Well, senators like Rand Paul have introduced a bill to kill Obama's gun control because, as you alluded to, Obama is trying really hard to push through some executive gun control before he leaves office. Now, of course, we're not talking about gun control for Al-Qaeda or ISIS or Mexican drug cartels.
No border control.
No border patrol. Yeah. But for the citizens here in the United States, and the article reads by Steve Watson, Paul's legislation, named the Separation of Powers, Restoration, and Second Amendment Protection Act, would render any action on gun legislation by the president, which circumvents Congress, as advisory only in nature. The bill also outlines that it is within the power for a state official, member of Congress, or a person affected by an executive action on gun control to launch a civil lawsuit. And I think this is very important, this
very point important.
About the civil lawsuit, because we'll see people, I'm sure there will be many good police officers, good sheriffs, federal agents who say, hey, we don't want to go along with this gun confiscation or whatever it is that you have planned. So now they actually have a way to file a lawsuit against the powers that be.
That's absolutely right. You know, it's amazing that we haven't seen the Congress stand up and do anything. They're a do-nothing Congress on so many issues, except with a few exceptions like Rand Paul, who will constantly introduce this type of legislation to get them to do something. And then, of course, they say, no, we don't want to do it. So they pass it off to these bureaucracies that are their own little fiefdoms. They write their own laws. They have their own police forces, their own judiciary where they enforce this law. The president is doing his executive orders, and Congress just sits there and allows people to do that. That's why we have to shut this thing down from the outside. We have to shut it down with state nullification. We have to shut it down at the individual level with jury nullification. I've got some stories coming up on that. But I think this is a very important move for them to preemptively say, look, we're going to put some measures in here that are going to put some teeth into the entire process, the constitutional process. I think that's very important.
Absolutely.
And I want to play what a new senator, Ben Sasse, said about these kinds of executive orders, because he was talking to people and putting it in a partisan situation. I'll let him talk about it, and we'll comment when we come back, Jakari and I. Let's play that clip from Ben Sasse talking about the dangers of partisanship in supporting executive orders.
Imagine President Trump has been propelled into the White House with 300 electoral votes, having won mainly by the force of his personality, by calling BS on this town, and by his promise to get things done by acting unilaterally. The first 100 days are huge. He signs an order that turns the Peace Corps into stonemasons to build the Southern Wall. He shutters the Department of Education, and by executive order, he turns the Department of Interior into the classiest oil company the world has ever known. What happens next? Would those who've stayed silent about executive overreach over the last 7 years suddenly find religion? After years of legislative atrophy, would Congress spring into action and remember its supposed power of the purse? And what about Republicans? After having raged against a supposedly lawless president, would many suddenly find that they're actually okay with a strongman president so long as he's wearing the same colored jersey they are?
Exactly. As long as he's wearing the same colored jersey, you go along with that. And we've seen this happen so many times, haven't we, Jakari?
Yeah, because you think about how many people hated Bush. You know, the Democrats, they hate Bush, all the things that he stands for. Then you have Obama comes in. He's supposedly supposed to be anti-war. He's launching all these conflicts. He's sending drones overseas, blowing up innocent people. But it's okay when Obama does it.
Yeah.
And you got the Republicans going against Obama. But now when you get, if you get a Republican back in office, are they still going to voice those same concerns?
Do you remember how you constantly heard the Democrats complaining about Bush is acting unilaterally? He's acting unilaterally. Now, they didn't really have a problem that he wasn't getting the okay of our elected representative. They wanted him to get the okay of the UN, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was still a unilateral issue. But they're the ones who are demanding that Obama act unilaterally.
Yes.
And so this senator, Ben Sasse, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, did a great job of laying this out and saying, look, you know, imagine, and this is why it's important. We've said this all along when we're talking about Obama. Imagine that there's somebody that comes in, Democrats, who is on the other side of the issue, that all these issues that you think are very important, and he just comes in and starts issuing edicts and commands like a dictator, okay? Are you going to be okay with that? Because we've had the Republicans now complaining about this, and you know very well, and he knows as well, too, that when you get a Republican coming in as dictator, that's why they have laid down for this, because they say, well, it's going to be my turn to be dictator next.
Yes.
We're going to be dictators, so I don't want to take this dictator down. So both people on both sides of the aisle, both parties need to understand they are setting up a very dangerous precedent when they encourage this type of action. Thank you, Jakari. We'll be right back with your phone calls and some more breaking news.
In Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. I'm going to go to the callers who are still in line. Seth, Pennsylvania, Tim, and Wyoming. I'll be with you in just a moment. Before I go back to those calls, I just want to remind people that we have a year-end special. We always do a year-end special on Prison Planet TV. This time, we've increased it to 6 months for free. That's right. You get half of the year for free if you sign up right now. That means that comes out to only about 10 cents a day, and that's getting the nightly news broadcast to you on HD as soon as it happens with no delay. And it's a way to support InfoWars here. That's very important that you support us financially. We sell products. That's a win-win situation. This is something else that is a win-win situation because not only do you get the nightly news each night, but you also get HD access to our films, our documentaries, ebooks that we have, and special reports, all there in an archive. So that's something you can get right now, 6 months for free. That works out to about 10 cents a day. That's where Jakari Jackson, who is just here, and I hang out most of the time. Of course, Leanne McAdoo, Joe Biggs, Rob Dew, Darren McBreen, we all do reports there. We all anchor from time to time. That's one way that you can support us. And, of course, you can also get that broadcast, Prison Planet TV, as a member. You can get it on your computer, your tablet, your cell phone, Roku, and Boxy. You can get it in all those different venues. We also have sales that are going on still at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the InfoWars Life Essentials Pack, that Survival Shield X2, Super Male Vitality, Silver Bullet, Colloidal Silver, all that for 33% off with that package. We also have a Deep Cleanse package that's 28% off. That's Oxy Powder, Deep Cleanse, and Living Defense. All three of those things together for 28% off. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I want to get to two callers who've been waiting a long time. They had some questions for William Binney. They wanted to talk about Intel. Let's go to Seth in Pennsylvania. Seth, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead. I know you've been on a long time.
I'm a big listener of the show, so I appreciate the, taking the call. My first question is, my only question is, with all of this that's going on in the world, you know, the geoengineering, chemtrails, and, you know, the globalists taking over, with everything that's hitting the fan right now, I had a question that I wanted to pose to Alex as to, we as just normal, ordinary, everyday citizens that are taxpayers, how would we go about taking on Obama and these, you know, big political figures or the people behind the scenes to really get something done? Because, I mean, I really feel like, as Alex said earlier, you know, it's scared to death. Like, I'm scared to death. I wake up every day thinking, you know, is today the day that the first shot's going to be fired and, you know, the UN
people are going to distribute the Islamists out and then, you know, start taking guns. You know, I'm scared to death. So, you know, can an ordinary, everyday American go get a federal attorney and try to bring charges on, you know, a president of the United States or, you know, these people behind the...
Well, in general, I think they're going to shut that down. They're going to say that you don't have standing. Even though you do have an interest in this, they will play those types of games. So that's a very difficult route to go. And I would also say that understand just how biased the court system is. You know, most of these judges, especially at the appeals level, are federal appointees. So we've seen things like the FAA overreaching itself on drone regulations going all the way down to toy planes that are a half a pound, saying if you don't register this, just for not registering it, they could fine you $27,500, and I think that began yesterday, as a matter of fact. If you didn't register your drone by the 21st, now you better do it with them, or if they catch you, they will try to assess that as a civil penalty. They won't even give you due process in court, only if they come after you as a criminal operation. So that was something that people had complained about. They'd point out this was absurd, and of course, in a trial case, you had a judge who struck that down, the FAA's attempts to do that. On a plane that was larger than that, even though it was made out of styrofoam, it was a larger plane, weighed a little bit more. And yet an appeals court of federally appointed judges struck down what the judge said. The judge said, this is absolutely ridiculous that you would try to extend this kind of control down to toy planes. But then the NTSB board, political appointees on appeal, said, no, you're not going to do that. So I would say, Seth, that is not the route that I would go. Here's what I would suggest that you do, and it's a more difficult thing to do, and it's hard to get the information because, you know, we're a national news organization. We do get into detailed stories at individual levels to give you an idea of what's going on in places as a template. When they have an application that is national, we talk about those local stories. But there's a lot that's happening at the local level that it takes a little bit more groundwork to get involved with it. We all like to follow the presidential campaigns. And yeah, they're important on several different levels. They're very important. But it can be a distraction to paralyze you from doing anything at the local level. So there are things that you can do at the local level, knowing when there are honest people. And that's an easier thing to determine when it's a smaller sphere of influence and you're closer to those people. And then getting behind that person, working with them, supporting them, getting them into office. Your local sheriff can be very, very powerful to stand up for your rights. So that's a very important thing to do. The other thing you can do is at the state level, if you get some good state legislators, some good state executives, they can exert legal and constitutional state nullification to shut down overreach of the federal government. And then at the individual level, you have a lot of power if you do get onto a jury. Now, that's something that requires some information, and that's where we have to work, I think, to get this information out there. If we get one person out of 12 on a jury to shut down unjust laws, whether those things are coming at the federal level, the state level, or the local level, one person on the jury can shut that down. The problem is most people see the juries as rubber stamps, and so they don't really have any confidence in the jury system anymore because it's been so destroyed. And so we have this catch-22 of trying to get people to put themselves on the line and try for an honest jury trial when this whole process is rigged. And so we have to restore the integrity of the judicial system. That is a massive educational issue. And I'm glad that you asked because there was an update today about jury nullification. We've talked to Keith Wood. Actually, we talked to his lawyer, David Coleman. This is a case that's coming out of Michigan. And I'll talk about that. But let me get your feedback on that. What do you think is the thing that you can do? Do you agree with me that you're going to have more effect at a local level? Okay, I think Seth is gone. So, well, let me go through and I'll tell you everybody else what's happened now with this case that is out of Michigan. This is a situation. This is a 39-year-old former pastor. He found out what juries are really for. He found out what juries were really intended for. You know, our power, it has been said, comes out of a few boxes. It comes out of the ballot box, it comes out of the jury box, and it comes out of the cartridge box as a last resort. Well, for it to come out of the jury box, we have to understand what juries are for. The juries are there not just to judge the facts of the case. They're also there to judge the law and how it is going to be applied. If they feel the penalties are draconian, they can and should, and it is their duty to shut it down. They did this with alcohol prohibition. It got to the point where in many areas of the country, they could not get any enforcement on anything. There was a country, the town, and the name of it escapes me right now, that is now the first town to have a majority Muslim council, and they are enacting alcohol prohibition selectively around mosques in that town. And they pointed out that they never had prohibition during alcohol prohibition because nobody would convict their neighbors for violating alcohol prohibition. So that's an effective way to shut this down. Of course, it's a way that people could shut down that kind of quasi-soft Sharia law that's being imposed on people in that town is with a jury nullification. So it's a very, very important tool to shut down. Now, you had this guy, 39-year-old former pastor. He's got, I think, five children. He's got a large family. He was handing out pamphlets from the Fully Informed Jury Association. And the judge saw this pamphlet, was so outraged that he had him arrested. And this was just before Thanksgiving. He intended to keep him in jail over the Thanksgiving weekend. The magistrate worked to give him an excessive bail, $150,000 for handing out pamphlets on the sidewalk. And, of course, there was no jury in session, but they charged him with jury tampering. And so his attorney who's representing him, and I talked to him on the nightly news, he said when he first was contacted by Keith Wood, he thought, this guy is really exaggerating the situation. What he's telling me can't be true. This can't be true. And he said he went down and looked at it, and he goes, no, what he's telling me really is true. It's absolutely amazing. They arrested him for handing out a pamphlet on the sidewalk in front of the courthouse. And what this pamphlet is doing is talking in general terms about the rights and the obligations and the duties of jurors, talking about the history of trials in America and going all the way back to English common law as well, because that established the basis for what is in many constitutions here in many state constitutions in the United States. Nevertheless, he's running through this thing. And of course, now they have he's put out a motion, and I just got a an update from Mr. Coleman. He makes 4 points. Number one, it's impossible to tamper with a jury that is not existing, does not exist. Jury tampering cannot be charged as felony obstruction of justice. They're coming after him for obstruction of justice as well as jury tampering. And they say the prosecution of Mr. Wood violates his First Amendment right to free speech. And said the prosecutor is trying to scare everyone into believing that if we allow freedom of speech, more specifically, if we allow jurors to vote their conscience, that we'll live in a lawless nation. Yet, we have lived in such a nation for over 200 years, and it did not turn us into a lawless nation. No, that is the fundamental responsibility of the jurors. Now, in a parallel case that just came out a couple of days ago, a Colorado judge has on multiple occasions arrested people who were doing the same thing in Denver, outside of a Denver courthouse. They did go to a federal judge, and this is something that they're considering, that David Coleman and his client Keith Wood are considering a federal case. And what these people in Colorado did at Denver, they did make a federal case out of it. You had two activists who were arrested and charged with 7 counts of jury tampering back in July of this year. When they were arrested, they took their matters to as a federal lawsuit against the city of Denver for violating their First Amendment right to free speech. And in a civil federal lawsuit, a U.S. district judge ruled in their favor and said that if you pass out pamphlets on public property, that's free speech. Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. Now, he even went as far as to tell this Judge Martinez, told the Denver police and the sheriff's deputies to stop arresting people for First Amendment protected activity on public property. So, yes, you can win. We have seen this happen over and over again. If you fight them on this, they will lose. And you have the capability of acting as a juror and exercising your conscience. As a matter of fact, we've talked about the case of a New Jersey weed man who acted as his own attorney. He knew that most people would not send him to jail for these draconian measures for having marijuana. He knew from public polls that most people did not support the criminalization of marijuana. So he thought, well, I'm going to argue for jury nullification. He couldn't get an attorney who would do that for him, so he represented himself. And in the first trial, he held up the New Jersey Constitution that says that jurors have a right and a duty to judge not only the facts of the case, but the law. And he got, and when he put that up, the judge said, put that down, I'm going to hold you in contempt. But it was too late. The jurors had already seen it. And so 7 of them voted to acquit him. Now, the prosecutor came after him a second time. Second time, he got a different judge. That judge allowed him to keep that sign up, and he just left it up on the table in front of him. He got acquitted 12-0. That's the power of jury nullification. That's the way we can shut these people down. And I think that's a very important way to tackle this. Let's go to Tim in Wyoming. Tim, you've been hanging on a long time to talk about NSA. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. I was actually wanting to talk to William Binney when he was on, because I wanted to ask about how the NSA collects information just as a dragnet, as you've said, as Alex has said. As said before, dragnet surveillance, they just collect whatever they can collect. And I'm wondering now, when a person wants to start a new media enterprise, let's say, just a small radio show, like I was actually thinking about doing it myself, and now as I'm hearing more and more about the NSA's draconian measures, I don't know that I really want to try it, but I'm actually going to anyway, no matter what. But they are, if they have an internet kill switch, if they actually have some way of shutting things off. Now, I know that Alex brought, the way I listen to the show, the Alex Jones show, is over the internet. I listen to it through the cellular system over the internet. But at the same time, when I'm listening to it, I'm thinking, well, all they have to do is just cut one link somewhere. All they have to do is cut one, just flip one little switch, and everything's turned off. And then what happens is those alternative media sources, such as Alex or other people who broadcast over the internet, and I listen to quite a few shows on GCN, and they all do the same thing. They all broadcast over the internet the same way. Now, all that has to happen is one little switch or one little wire gets cut or one relay gets knocked down or whatever happens.
I understand. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, don't give up, don't give up your pen and paper. Don't give up your DVDs. You know, we have ways to pass information around. They had committees of correspondence during the American Revolutionary War. Just because they remove this technology, it will make things slower, but it will make the messages that go around all the more powerful. Yes, they can pull those plugs. We've seen China enact what they call the Great Firewall of China, where they selectively shut down traffic from a given area, they think, that's coming in, or selectively shut down websites. Is one of the reasons that I was so concerned when Donald Trump talked about selectively shutting down parts of the internet. That is an incredibly dangerous thing that he's playing with. So we do not want a Chinese-style censorship. We do not want the Great Firewall. But we understand that, yes, the government created the internet. That was something that was a DARPA invention. It goes back to their intention. And you know who invented it? It was a psychologist that was working for DARPA. It was set up as a control technique, but we took control of it. They never expected for freedom to break out in the way that it has. And so it's been a massive tool of free speech, of people being able to go back and look at the archives, see what has been said in the past, compare that to what they're telling you now, talk to each other, communicate with each other, set up that kind of correspondence person to person. So we have gone around their control grid, and we will go around whatever kind of control grid they want to set up. And that's the important thing to understand. And I'll say to you, Tim, don't be afraid of the fact that they're tracking you. Yes, they are tracking you. And if you let that intimidate you, you will lose. When you stand up to them, you will win. So do not let that intimidate you. Go ahead.
Right, right. No, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, I'm nervous about it, but I'm also, as I said, as you're saying, slightly afraid about it too. But at the same time, I know that the freedom fight has to go on, no matter if it's one grain of sand or an entire truckload of sand being dumped on the globalist of truth. I mean, as far as dissemination of information, we need to be able to do that in a timely manner. We need to be able to do it. Okay, something happened. We need to tell people about this as soon as possible.
No, absolutely. Sometimes,
okay, if it takes a few weeks to get the information out to people, sometimes the information is lost. It's lost its strength. It's lost its ability to change anything.
Yes. Thank you, Tim. And we got to go to break. But I'll just tell people real quickly, when the Waco situation was happening, I didn't have internet. We had bulletin boards. And you would have to log on to some guy's bulletin board, pull the messages that were there, and then you would kind of pass it like a breadcrumb down to another bulletin board. And so it would do this daisy chaining. I wasn't in Texas like Alex Jones. Alex Jones went there. But I was getting my information that way. I still got the information.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We've got one more segment here, and I want to continue with what we were talking about with the last caller, and that is how they try to intimidate us into not opposing them. And, of course, that's a very openly, overtly stated goal of unconventional warfare. If you look at what the military does in terms of their psyops, they talk about unconventional warfare is essentially to try to identify people who will resist you, intimidate them into standing down. And so we have to not give in to that. Now, I want to get back to that. Before I do, I want to let you know real quickly that if you want to get a subscription to Prison Planet TV and support our operation, right now we are giving you 6 months for free. That's the best special we've ever had at the end of the year. Alex always does an end-of-the-year special for Prison Planet TV. Usually it's been 4 months or 5 months. This time it's 6 months. That works out to just 10 cents a day. Now, that supports our operation. It supports reporters like me, Jakari Jackson, Leanne McAdoo, Rob Dew, Darren McBreen, all of us, and all the support crew behind the scenes. But it also gives you access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries. That's a great way to wake people up. If you want to get people, give them a perspective as to what's going on, because we can only cover bits and pieces of this as we're going through to get a real background on a particular topic, it's great to have a documentary. And so Alex has got a lot of documentaries there. You can see all those documentaries in HD. You can get the ebooks, the special reports that are there. And of course, you can watch that even on Roku and Boxy in HD as it's happening on Prison Planet TV and get the archives, all of that for just 10 cents a day. And you support our operation at the same time. Now, getting back to what we were just talking about, the way they're intimidating people. And Alex talked about this a good bit earlier. And this whole thing that's going on in China, the fact that they would give you a credit score. Remember when you're in school, they always say, we're going to put that on your permanent record. Be careful. You know, oh, my permanent record. Oh, please don't do that. That kind of intimidation. They're always trying to do that. So now they're going to give you a credit score, but they're also going to give you a credit score for not just whether you pay back what you borrow, but the kinds of things that you buy. You know, do you buy video games or do you buy things that they want you to buy, like durable goods and that sort of thing? They score credit that differently. They also will give you a different kind of a score if you start talking about politics. But here's the most insidious part of it. If you have friends who are putting out information and political opinions that they don't like, that will impact your score. You see that? Intimidating you, making you guilty by association. And you know, when I started seeing this, I thought, yeah, this is so much what I have seen in Asian societies, even a freer society like Japan. We have a lot of Asian friends back in North Carolina. And one of them from Japan, and she said they had an expression there. The nail that sticks up gets hammered down. Okay? Don't stand out in a crowd, folks. That's the message to the Japanese people. And even though they have a much freer, more open society, there's a tremendous amount of peer pressure to make people conform to what is the societal norm. When we adopted my daughter from China, she was with a foster family for the last 6 months that she was there. We adopted her as an older child. She'd spent several years in an orphanage. And then the last 6 months, they put her in a foster home. And when they brought her to be adopted, they gave her a letter. And it was to be read to her. And, of course, it was written in Chinese. We got somebody there to translate for her. And it was their advice to her, the fatherly advice from her Chinese foster dad. And it was, be a good servant to the government. That was his advice to her. Be a good servant to the government. That's their mindset. And I went hysterical laughing. I said, they gave her to the wrong dad. She's going to get a very different story from me. That's it for today's broadcast. Join us tomorrow and join us tonight for the InfoWars Nightly News. Leanne McAdoo will be hosting.